please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
Come on, boiler room.
Yeah, we're fucked up. Oh, the wrong door.
Yeah, somehow the apes are back.
Honk, 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 honk.
I have a month's worth of beans.
Makes me want to ride an escalator at a mall.
All we ever do is mention things.
Right out of the box, I'm having fun.
Mad at a room.
Live, on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. Yes, welcome to the program, episode 35L of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. L is for lovers, isn't it, Garen? Sure, Garen likes to love. He's looking for it in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love. Time is tough for lovers, and the time that was, I don't know who did the first one. I can't remember. The second one was Michael Bolton, the great Michael Bolton, dealing with some health issues at the moment. We wish Michael Bolton a lot of luck, as we do all people deal with health issues, myself included. I'll put myself on that list, but Michael Bolton, and then some other celebrity just came out in the last, our friend Dave Coulier. Dave Coulier announced yesterday he has cancer.
Oh, no.
So that's sad.
That is sad.
But obviously, good thoughts to Dave Coulier. Mm-hmm. And to quote my wife, do you think they'll cut it out? Which may be, I think we could all agree, the perfect joke.
Fantastic.
I mean, it is. It's perfection. Yeah. It's perfection.
Yeah.
And I save your emails about we're not making light of cancer. That's not what we're doing. Yeah. We're making light of Dave Coulier and his catchphrase.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. But we certainly, as I mentioned, would run into Dave from time to time at celebrity pro-ams plus Jimmy Pardo, and strikingly handsome on the golf course. Saw him at IKEA, strikingly handsome on a fold-out bed. What's Dave Coulier doing what's he doing at IKEA? Let's get to the bottom of that.
Interesting question.
Maybe, what is multi-gazillionaire Dave Coulier doing there?
Do you think he has a child that is moving into their first apartment?
And yes, I do.
Needs a cheap couch.
And I think what he's doing there is, hey, you go to IKEA and get furniture like every other kid does. I'm not going to buy you Beverly Hills furniture just because I can, and it won't affect my bank account. They're loaded. You're staring at me like you represent the Coulier estate.
No, I represent IKEA. I mean, IKEA is like, if you like Legos and amusement parks, but you don't like rides, IKEA.
Didn't seem like that's what the Couliers were doing there.
No.
No, he specifically had a shirt on that says "I hate Legos," which I thought at the time was a very odd shirt, specific. But now it makes sense.
Okay,
he was giving me a signal to not yes and you. So that's what I was choosing to do. We welcome you in on a Thursday here in Los Angeles, California. Beautiful sunny day outside. Another rainy day in Georgia. That's another song. I'm just going to sing everything that comes to mind.
Yeah, you're full of song today,
brother. I've got a voice. I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
Very quickly, I want to say thank you to the folks that nice emails after the last couple of episodes that we did here dealing with what's going on in our country. That's not to say there's not a few assholes, but they still want to contact from time to time. To which I'll quickly say there seems to be some pearl clutching / hate listening as far as from what I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
And just stop. It's okay. It's okay to stop listening. I mean that sincerely. And I've said it before. I stopped listening to certain podcasts. You can too. I stopped watching TV shows. You can too. There's plenty out there.
Yeah.
Plenty out there. I know you appreciate the trading cards that you get. And maybe you don't want to miss out on the hot new perk for 2025. But it's cool. It's cool if you move on. It's also cool if you don't email me to tell me what little nitpicky shit thing. It's like just fucking listen to the show. Mm-hmm. Laugh or don't laugh. You know the fucking options. At any rate, but for the most part, they were fine. But again, there's certain, I don't know, you know, it's the old George Carlin, not in my backyard. You make a joke and it's, I thought that was out of line. But did you? Really? You're 18 years in? And you don't get that, you know, we're four decent dudes that are just making stupid jokes. So, suck that fucking cock. And you know, move on from that horse shit. Take that horse pill, right? That's what I say when I have oral sex. Take that horse pill.
Wow.
Horse sounds pills, big when you say it
horse
that
pills are big. Yes, yeah, that's the, that's, you know, people always say that when they get a big pill. Like, oh, what is that, a horse pill? So that's what I'm going to say now, whatever.
It's a rare moment of you being a positive about your own dick size.
Yeah, well, in fairness, it's the size of a horse pill.
I don't know exactly, like, that could be big or small.
A
like
real horse pill?
Yeah. Is it like this big?
Or is it?
Is it like that?
Oh, I don't. It's
if I'm going to say, oh, you don't think it's that
or
big?
Is it
I
like
don't
that.
I think it's more that.
Wait, let me see.
Like,
wait, what'd you just
like
do?
A quarter?
Like, yeah.
Hang on. Are we doing? Are you Nick Fuentes? Why does that happen?
You saw who got elected.
What do you think of that cabinet? That cabinet of deplorables he's
looking
together.
Good. Looking good, guys.
Good Lord! It's like, good Lord. That's all. Like,
yeah.
Good Lord. It's like, that's what you voted for, dumb fucks. You voted for the dumbest cabinet in the history of politics.
That's no surprise.
They're not, but they may not all be confirmed. I mean, if Matt Gaetz is confirmed, what the fuck is going on?
Some of them, but law of averages, some of them will have to be confirmed.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
And also, look who's doing the confirming.
Correct.
What are we at, 53 Republican in the Senate now?
Yeah. So here's the question. So Matt Gaetz is in the Senate, right? Or is he a congressperson?
He's a congressperson.
He resigned right before they were about to release the House ethics report about him.
Yeah. He was up for being a pedophile.
Right.
He had a relationship with underage women. And girls. I'm going to say girls.
There was some other stuff too.
High school girls.
So by all means,
or younger.
Trafficking and sex trafficking. I don't know.
Interstate something
or
other.
Yeah. So by all means, he should be the AG.
It's just wild to me. I mean, obviously,
he's not going to get confirmed. By the way, go ahead.
Clearly there wasn't enough evidence to file criminal charges against him, or else that would have happened at some point.
Right.
But this congressional thing. The fact that you can be like, it's like playing tag. You're like, oh, I'm safe. Like, he just, all he has to do is step back and they're like, oh, we can't do anything anymore.
Our hands are tied.
No, this guy's a piece of shit. Here's what we found.
Well, I think what we discovered in the past 4 years is that Merrick Garland is useless. That's what we've discovered.
Right.
And so Congress may have discovered that as well. It may be on Merrick Garland's desk. I mean, who knows what was happening there? But I do know that. And when I say very definitively, first of all, I don't know what I'm talking about. That's A. But B, when I say that he will not be confirmed, I believe, to your point of some of them will get through, I believe he will be the one that doesn't. I believe they will make a point of, oh, we'll let the weirdo from Fox News get through, but we won't let Matt Gaetz get through. Because a lot of Congress and senators, they hate Matt Gaetz. They were glad that he was...
Right.
I was having a preparation moment. They were glad that he was gone.
Yeah.
Fuck him and fuck all of you for voting for him. let's get back to horse pills.
Yes, please.
So my thought is this. A horse has a bigger mouth than you do. There's no doubt about that. We can agree on that.
Yeah, we can.
Would it be the size of a Twinkie? Like, is that possible for a horse?
Maybe.
No, I was going to say more like a Twix.
That feels okay.
Cause I don't like the length.
Proportionally,
I don't like it.
Fun size Twix. I'm talking.
How about a fun size Snicker?
Yeah, sure.
That seems right.
Karen, you got anything on horse pills?
I think, you know what, if I may, I think it might be two fun size Snickers together.
But that's just a regular Snickers.
Nah, it's a...
Two-thirds?
Two-thirds of a Snick.
Seven-eighths?
Sure.
No.
So they come in an eighth ounce, a half ounce, and 1 ounce. So it's 1.2 by 6 by 0.6 inches, 1.9 by 0.8 inches, and 2.5 by 0.9 inches.
They're not even an inch long, then. A horse pill.
No, wait, you said 2.5.
The biggest
one is... They're at least one long.
Oh, I apologize.
From 1 to 2.5 inches
thick.
Long.
Yeah.
Okay, so 2.5 inches long. I think we know what that is.
That's your cock.
That's 2.5 my cock. It's 1.5 my cocks. No, it's one and...
It's 1.25.
1.25.
This sounds like a Kit Kat situation.
Give me a break,
buddy. One by three, 1 by 2.5.
You stepped on my give me a break.
Oh, sorry.
That's a good piece of business. Give me a break.
Sorry, Tootie.
What?
Isn't that give me a break? No, Tootie is...
That's
Facts
of Life. Give me a break is that...
Go back to pop culture school.
That's
not ready
for
this.
You need to take a walk after that?
Yeah.
Wait, so who's the one with the suspenders in Give Me a Break?
Not for $1 million.
Joey Lawrence?
Are you talking about the dude from What's Happening?
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
That's Rerun.
Oh, my God.
That's
a different decade.
That's Dwayne from What's Happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or are you thinking of... Jimmy Walker.
No. I'm not going that far back.
But bottom line is you're conflating all of your black sitcoms.
Let's be very clear. I'm wrong.
So the thing is, no one. There's only one black person in Give Me a Break. It's the maid.
That's Nell Carter.
Nell Carter. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's the lead of it, but it's a white family. Okay. With Joey Lawrence as the
cute little
kid.
I was even though I said Facts of Life thing, that wasn't, I wasn't thinking Facts of Life. I was thinking What's Happening.
Okay. You were.
And then you said Give Me a Break.
What do you think about that Danielle Spencer? She played D with those witty sardonic remarks of her.
Sure. I like sardonicism.
That's what the New York Times called her, the sardonic D.
Remember, she never had anything nice to say. Yeah. All of her comments were negative and put downs. Right. Says this show.
I never really watched. I watched that show like twice. I think.
Were too young.
Yeah, probably.
We watched it every week. Every week. It was one of our, you know, it was a go-to. That, Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, those were the go-tos.
Did you watch What's Happening Now?
No. It's no.
Almost unnecessary spinoff.
No. Was that the first reboot of a sitcom?
Oh, that's a good question.
And I'm not counting Aftermath because that was a spinoff.
I thought, wasn't What's Happening Now also a spinoff?
Same cast.
Oh. Same. So how many times has that happened?
I mean, what about Lucille Ball? Does that...
Well, no, those were different because she had different bosses and...
Right.
And she had different last names.
Yeah, oh, it was not the same timeline. This was like literally was just like, why didn't they just keep calling it What's Happening? I don't know.
Because it went away for 10 years.
10 years? Really? Holy shit.
Seven?
So maybe I watched years? What's Happening Now. Whatever I saw was in reruns anyway, so I don't know, but...
It was how? Wait, Garen, give us the timeline on that. When did What's Happening Now come out?
Hold on. I'm trying to find out what the first rebooted sitcom was, and it just keeps telling me reboot.
Oh, which, well, you don't want that.
Is that ChatGPT helping you out there?
Okay, What's Happening is 1976, 1979.
Okay,
What's Happening Now is 85 to 88.
All right, so 6 years later it came out for another three. So it did 3 years initially, went away for 6 years, came back for three more years. I would assume I believe Mabel King may have passed away in the middle there. Shirley Hempel, I'm sure, returned.
Mm-hmm.
I think, did Dee pass away too, Danielle Spencer, the aforementioned? I think Fred Rerun Barry passed away in the meantime and was not on the reboot, or was he on the reboot?
What you've just said proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know a zillion times more about this show than we do. I don't know. I remember the name Shirley Hempel. I don't know the character's name. Until you said it, I forgot that that's the show that Rerun came from. And then...
Fred, I'm talking about Fred Rerun Barry.
Yeah, I gotcha. And then Dee, I mean, I'm taking your word for it that she was a character.
That was the sister.
That
was Raj's sister.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Danielle Spencer is still alive. She's 59.
And she deserves to be. She's great.
No, she's your age.
She's not. She's a year older than me. How dare you?
Roughly.
How dare you?
Shirley Hempel did pass away in 1999. I feel like I remember that.
I don't remember that. Shirley Hempel, I don't remember that. Mabel King passed away what year? She was the mother. Mabel King was the mother.
Oh, yeah. She's not in
one. She was very good. And then, is it, who played Dwayne? Daryl Harwood? Or am I thinking of a basketball player that I just made up in my head?
Haywood Nelson. So you had a...
Haywood Nelson played Dwayne.
Yes.
And then Mabel King passed away when?
She passed away in, also in 1999.
Oh, so she was she was around for
the murder-suicide situation.
She died... November 9th, 1999.
So we just had the anniversary.
Shirley Hempel could not handle it.
And?
She passed away on December 10th, 1999.
A month later.
Jeez. She couldn't take it. Heart was broken.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we're joking, but what if they were secret lovers?
How could they be lovers if they can't be friends? That song doesn't apply.
Secret
you sang
lovers.
A little
the actual
Atlantic Star.
That's what we are.
I got Michael Bolton to the brain today. That's two Michael really Bolton did. Songs that came out.
Can you move on from that?
Nah, I like some of his songs. I like Mike Bolton.
Okay.
I like I think he has brain issues. I think that's what his health issues are.
Oh,
I think they're brain. I think they're brain.
He had a tumor removed from his brain earlier this year.
What was this year?
Yeah.
Is that why they had to cut his hair?
I think it was April. I saw when I was looking at it.
That's why. Is that why they had to cut his hair? I said so they can get to that brain.
Yeah.
By the way, if I had said what I'd meant to say, which still would have been wrong, I would have said Rerun.
Well, he wore suspenders.
Yeah. And a beret.
Yeah. Yes. What are you getting at?
That's I just want to make sure that when people talk about how I got this wrong,
and they will,
they are right about how you were wrong.
Yeah, I want to correct my incorrectness so that it is exact,
sure,
precise.
I believe Fred Rerun Barry was part of a dance troupe called the Lockers.
Yeah, I remember him doing that dance.
Yeah.
So they didn't pop it at
maybe
all.
Maybe the only thing I remember about the show.
And I think that was their costume. I believe it was the suspenders and beret. Hmm. I think they may have all worn that, and then he just brought that. Like, that was his.
Wow.
Yeah. They were like, we like this, what you're doing here. Can you just do that on television?
Almost like the casting people went, we got him!
Yeah.
We got him. Is that right, Garen? Mm-hmm. The Lockers, did they all dress that way?
He was in The Lockers, which is a dance group formed by Tony Basil.
What?
Oh, Mickey. Weird.
Well, you're so fine.
Let me see if it says anything about the costume.
I think they all wore those. I think that, like, they would go on Soul Train or something and do their thing.
Boy, we have gone deeper on this than I could ever have imagined.
Yeah.
It does not comment on their lockers on their Wikipedia page. Or their
outfits.
Sorry. Yeah, their outfits.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
That doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means
sure
that,
does.
That it,
no, that means I'm wrong.
Also, there's no picture. Like, there's no photo of
there's
them.
There's no. When you put in Fred Berry, the lockers, and images, nothing?
I haven't done that yet.
Well, let's do that, Garen. Let's get to photograph. Yeah, let's get to photographs and memories. The great Jim Croce.
I'm sure when I type in lockers pictures, I'm not going to
get you're not going to get that.
Else, right. But
you're gonna, you may get some porn, right? Some gym porn?
Is that your porn name, Jim Porn?
Yeah.
Not very creative, but
yeah,
gets to the point.
It's not the best.
Everyone knows what's
you
coming.
You know what's happening, right?
What does this guy do?
Da, da, da.
Jim Porn?
Get rid of that horse cock. God damn it, horse pill. Screwed up my own fucking thing.
There.
See? They're all in like...
Boy, that looks like a gang from the Warriors.
Yeah, it does. The clownish gangs that... Yeah.
Gary, move your head.
Yeah, they all...
Sorry.
They also look like a troupe that you'd run into at a theme park. Like they're
100%.
That's the dance group that goes around from village to village, whatever they call what do they call those things at theme parks? Little worlds, lands, themes.
Yeah, that's just like we don't have the IP to do anything, so we just put these costumes together.
And wait, what's going on? Hit it! And then all of a sudden you're watching a dance show in front of you, which, by the way, as a kid, would have loved.
Yeah.
I'd enjoy that today. What am I talking
kind
about?
Kind of a precursor to the flash mob.
Yes. That said, over on 3rd Street Promenade, get out of my way. Get out of my way. Don't need to see you do it here.
I came here to shop, not to be entertained.
3rd Street Promenade, just so that we have our ninth show in a row where we talk about specific California areas. Lots of articles lately about how it's flailing and failing.
Yeah. A lot of closed shops.
Yeah, a lot of closed shops. It's sad to walk down that thing. There's not much happening. Mm. And there's not a lot of foot traffic because there's not much happening.
Right. Yeah.
And so the hustle and bustle that you and I both moved here to, like, hey, let's go down to the 3rd Street Promenade, I get some lunch and do the, like, oh, man, there's a record store, there's a bookstore, there's all these clothing stores, this, that, a movie, two or three movie theaters.
Yes.
And that's all.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer. And it's an outdoor mall, which is what's confusing everybody.
Yeah.
Because outdoor malls are far more popular today than the indoor mall.
Right.
And so why is that one failing?
Well, they renovated that
Santa Monica Place.
Yeah, the mall that's at the end of it,
which is also dead.
Right. That seemed like a bad investment to like throw millions of dollars into fixing that up.
But that's also outdoors. That's also
it is. They took the roof off of as a lot of malls are doing now. They took the roof off of.
Yeah.
They tear. Who, they who tore the roof off the sucker.
Yeah. Who tells us to do that?
Well, I guess it would be Parliament or.
Oh yeah. That sounds right.
Is that which one's and let the motherfucker burn? Is that
well? That's
the
roof
that's,
is on fire.
The roof is on fire.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's not the situation here. The roof is not on fire. We're just trying to do what?
We're just
this is
raising the roof. We're tearing the roof off.
Sucker, tear the roof off the sucker. Tear the roof off.
Yeah.
Sucker.
That's Parliament
or Funkadelic. I can never keep
it's
straight.
The same thing.
It's all the same.
Sometimes it's both
configuration of.
Yeah, you don't know who you're seeing.
Yeah.
Google's AI overview says the 3rd Street Promenade Santa Monica is considered to be failing primarily due to a significant increase in homelessness in the area.
Doesn't help.
Which has led to a decline in foot traffic, business closures, and a perception of unsafe conditions deterring shoppers from visiting the West Fiber.
But I'm curious how recent that note is because Karen Bass has done a great job of cleaning up homelessness.
Yeah. And in a good way, not just like moving people other places.
No. Exactly. And so... And we were just there. It wasn't as bad as it has been in the past. In the past, it's that Bill Hicks joke of the what was it? The I used the word stumble bum, so he didn't. Or maybe he did here. The stumble bum obstacle course that you walk down Third Street Promenade and you basically have to.
It was always that way.
I got to maneuver this guy. I got to jump over this guy.
It was always that way. There were always.
Nobody's saying it wasn't. We're saying that it's not now.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
But I'm just saying, like, in a way, it kind of can't be the reason why the shops.
Right.
Yeah,
that was always part of it.
Yeah. And not only that, but when I took Irma to go to the Santa Monica Pier because she wanted to see the sunset and all that kind of stuff, that place was fucking packed.
Yeah.
That was what the article said, that just a block and a half away, there's thousands of people.
Yeah.
And what used to then be bleed over to Third Street isn't happening.
Yeah.
So why isn't it happening?
Because a lot of places are closed. So it seems like a chicken and the egg situation.
I think it's that, too. And I think there's not as many restaurants as there used to be. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're definitely, because there was one. There were two that were on the corners there by the old Santa Monica place that are empty right now, as far as I know. So it doesn't.
It just bums me out. It's one of those things that we didn't go there often. But when we went there, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the hustle and bustle of it.
Yes.
Much the same way Oliver and I were talking about this, about how we went to the mall the other day. Danielle had something to do, so we went to the food court to get dinner or whatever. And it was busy. Mm-hmm. And Oliver's like, you know, I like when it's busy. And they were already playing Christmas music, which I do think is too early.
Yes.
But there is something fun about a mall playing Christmas music and a lot of people in it that is just the joy. Hmm. And I like it.
I was thinking when you were talking about, like, why would the Third Street Promenade be failing, is that my personal experience with malls, outdoor, indoor, whatever it is that I no longer find joy in walking around places like that. It's just like, there's nothing for me. I don't know what I used to get out of it. I'm just like, yeah, this is all just kind of junk I don't want. And like, I don't like other people necessarily. Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying. And I do think I used to have that feeling too, but I was at the mall yesterday in Glendale and I was just like, I fucking hate this. I don't want to be here.
That's fair. You know, you're evil and angry and awful. I mean, that's what,
I think
know,
it's just like,
you're Scrooge.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think I'm burned out on consumerism. Like it doesn't.
I think what you said earlier is that there's nothing for you. I think that's the big thing. Is in the when you were younger,
you
could hit the video store, the record store, this store. You know, there's just not that anymore.
I used to love going into the places that had collectible toys.
Yep.
Now I go in there and go, where the fuck would I put this? This is pointless.
You got that new house. You certainly have some shelves.
Yeah, but it just doesn't. We already have stuff. It's like you get to certain stuff, like I have enough stuff. I don't need more.
To that point, a friend of the show, Ralph Garman, you know Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph had what was described as one of the what word would I want to use here? Because I just had it and I lost it. I'll say this: one of the premier Batman collections. Mm-hmm. What word do I really want? I had it a moment ago. One of the
premier seems good.
All right, premier. He had one of the top collections in the country.
Yeah.
Where like, and not just that Lisa Welchel show, which I don't know if you ever saw that. She goes around to people's homes that have great collections of certain genre.
Okay.
And I believe he was on that. As was my friend Bill Leff with his action figure collection. My friend Mike Toomey also has a huge one. As does my father-in-law,
mm-hmm. Which I've seen. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, his is pretty crazy, and it covers Walter's covers from like early Disney stuff that is extremely rare to, you know, a lot of Star Trek stuff and a lot of action figures that like you could just buy off a shelf.
Yeah.
But there's other stuff that like you're not going to find until Walter decides to sell it. Mm-hmm. And then there will be a bidding war on this collection because there's certain folks that like to collect that stuff. Anyhow, Ralph, same deal. He has an auction house is now putting up his entire Batman collection.
Wow.
Which was a room bigger than this, full of, you know, Batman memorabilia throughout the years.
Yeah.
And somebody said, I can't believe that you're doing this. And he said the fun for him was the hunt and the curating, and I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't find myself just walking into that room to look at it. So why?
Yeah.
And then he said something, and I will misquote this, but it was something along the lines of, they were never mine to begin with. I was just holding them. Now somebody else will have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, I thought that was interesting. Like, wow, a guy who like That was his whole thing, was I collect Batman stuff, is now letting it go.
Yeah. And I imagine that'll feel good in a way to just be like, okay, like I don't, that's not, because honestly, there's stuff that I have that I don't need in my house. It's just in a closet or something. And I'm like, what's the point of that? Like that's, I don't look at it. I don't enjoy it. I don't have nothing. But like also the thought of, you know, mustering the effort to like sell it all or do whatever. It's just, that doesn't appeal to me either.
Well, that's why you go to auction house. You auction house it up.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that all the time with my signed albums on the wall or just my CD collection or whatever, of the time to sell that really is now.
Yeah.
It's not for when I'm gone and Oliver goes, okay, now I have Dad's autographed albums and CDs and just regular CDs and albums. Because honestly, anybody that wants to buy those are also dead.
Yeah.
Like by the time.
It's a good point. Yeah.
Like anybody that wants to buy my ZZ Top autographed album is not going to want that in 20 years.
Right. The demand is only going down as.
Yes.
As the people who care age into extinction.
Yes. So it's. But I'm not ready to. So I always think I should get rid of these now so it's not a problem for Danielle and Oliver. Yeah. And by the way, by problem, I mean they either bring it to Amoeba if that still exists.
Right.
Or they go. Well, yeah, nobody wants a signed Rick Astley album.
Yeah, it just ends up in the trash, which just seemed like a shame. Like, you might as well get some money out of it while you can.
But I still enjoy having, I don't want to take them down yet.
Yeah, that's
so true. I'm not ready for that yet. Yeah. At the same time, what am I doing here?
What's the end game?
May I make a suggestion?
Nicholas? Yeah.
So there's two aspects of this. There is the reality that you have an actual signed thing, and then there's the visual of being able to see this thing. Perhaps you take photographs of them, print them out, put them up, and then sell the real ones. So you have
actual size photograph.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And print that out, put it on some nice cardboard.
Yeah, because why not? You know what I mean?
And then they can throw that away when you don't need them anymore.
You know what? That's not a bad suggestion, because at the end of the day, it is just the album cover up there.
Right.
So
yeah,
I know how I got it. I know what the backstory is, and
you still have the memory of it.
Yeah,
and then when it comes,
at the picture is evoking the same memory as looking at the actual
thing.
And
then when it comes time to throw those away, you'll have the digital picture if you care to look at that.
The only person, there's only two people in the world that will know that it's not the actual album cover. Me and the person that bought the actual one.
Right.
So anybody else that would walk, and by the way, nobody goes in that room besides me and Danielle and Oliver anyway, but anybody that walks in and goes, and nobody's going to go, is that John Wayne autograph different? that doesn't look hand signed. That looks like a mimeograph.
I'm going to
mimeograph.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to be purpley blue.
That's going to be a little weird, but
we'll notice that actually, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it's up to you how you want to represent.
Yeah, it's my collection, assholes. I'll do it any way I want to.
That's totally fair. But, and then you'll have the added, like, so when you look at it, you'll remember when you got it signed, if you actually got it signed, and you'll also know that somebody else is enjoying it. The real one.
Yeah.
I will say this in that regard. I sold a bunch of rare Chicago tour shirts years and years and years and years ago that I now think I'm buying my own shirts back. Like, I know why I sold them. I needed the dough. I needed to make rent.
Right.
And I had this collection, and I saw one of the things I sold that I may have sold for $50. Let's pretend I sold for $50. It's going for $450. Now, that's what by the way, I'm saying it's going for.
Yeah.
It's, nobody has bought it yet.
Right, right. Like, but if you offer them $250, they might take it.
Well, I'm not doing that.
No, I'm saying.
I'm not offering anything.
Right. But
somebody else.
That's not the value of it until someone pays for that. But the thing is, if you had kept those shirts, you probably would have worn them, and by now they'd be falling off. Like, you couldn't wear them anymore. You know, like the shirts like that, they're only valuable now because someone put them in a box and didn't touch them for 30 years.
Well, that someone was me.
Yeah. But like, so again, same situation. If you have them and you aren't wearing them, then what's the point of having them?
I would wear them now.
So you would put them in a box for 30 years.
I had put them in a box.
Okay.
And then
you take them out now and wear them.
And now I would take them out and wear them. Yes.
Because I know I have a Beastie Boys concert shirt from the first time I saw them in 1992. And I put it in a box somewhere. Don't know where that box is, but I could probably find it. And but then what's funny is the same shirt showed up at Target. You know, they just were selling a reproduction of it. So I just got that and I wear that one. But the original one, if I took it, I wore it a lot, like for probably for 10 years I wore this thing. So I doubt it's in good shape, you know, like it probably wouldn't handle, like if you washed it, it would probably fall apart.
I wonder if it's one of those things that we talk about. And again, local reference alert, if you brought it down to Melrose to one of those where they sell those concert shirts, like we talked about for TV shows for $300, could you get $100 for it?
I don't know. Because again, there's so many reproductions of it now.
But they don't want a repro on a TV show. They want
But it's
game-worn, beaten-down one.
It's so close. Like, I honestly, I'm sure the material is a little different just because shirts were made differently in the early 90s than now. But I don't think anyone would be able to tell the difference just on sight.
They might be able to take the Target one and just
rough it up.
Put it through just wash it 100 times before that week's shoot.
They could buy my Target one now because I've worn that one for about 10 years at this point.
Let them know. Contact CBS.
We're like, do you want this one or this one? I'll give you... You know, whatever, offer me whatever you think it's they're worth.
It sounds to me like that Target one. It sounds to me like you got the mimeograph version of that shirt. I saw a Kiss shirt in the ladies department yesterday at Target that I went, hey, that's a pretty cool looking Kiss shirt that I went to hold it up and the ink was so thick. I went, oh, this is nope. Immediately put it right back down. It was, not for me, as I say.
Yeah.
That particular Kiss shirt. Yeah. Dig this. So I, for reasons I don't understand, my pharmacy of choice is CVS, specifically the CVS in the Target near my house. Okay. And so a particular medicine that was prescribed to me, for some reason, my pharmacy didn't have it and won't have it. The pharmacy down the street has it. And so they transferred my prescription to there.
Yeah.
Instead of having it come there, sending it over. I don't understand it for the second. So it was like, so they told me all that at my pharmacy yesterday. I came home. We're gonna have dinner, and at dinner I said, hey, I'm gonna run to that other Target after dinner and pick up that other prescription. And then I looked, and that pharmacy closed at 6.
Oh.
So that particular pharmacy in Target is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The one near my house is 9 to 8. Can we agree for the working person, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. is not helpful in any way, shape, or form?
We can.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Like, I mean, if you have a real job.
Yeah, you got to go at lunch.
Like when do you go? Do you send your valet? Who do you send? I say valet for humor. I think it's pronounced valet. Some people do say valet, though, don't they?
Yeah, they do. British people.
I think British folks say it.
Just to, you know, needle the French.
Yeah,
is that you think it's to go after the French?
I think so. I actually think so.
They do pronounce a lot of French words really dickishly, and you're probably onto something.
What do you think they call French toast then?
Toad in the hole,
heathen bread,
heathen bread, toad in the hole.
No, toad in the hole is I think an egg in the middle of.
That's
a piece
when
of bread.
You cut a hole in the middle of bread and then you put it on.
You don't like eggs, so you wouldn't be, it wouldn't appeal to
I
you.
Would
but
not
it's
appeal
delicious.
To that, but I recognize if you like both those items, it'd be terrific.
Yeah, it's great.
It's not for me.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
They do have a name for French toast in Britain.
And that is what, Garen?
Eggy bread.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's what it is.
Or, don't send me letters, I apologize, gypsy bread or French fried bread.
Weird.
Sometimes they serve it with ketchup.
Ugh, nobody wants that. You fucking UK. Idiot. That's why we beat you in a war, you dickheads. You're putting ketchup on eggy bread?
You must hate that they call it eggy bread.
I don't like it.
That's nauseating.
I'll tell you what I do like. I like it. They call it gypsy bread. I like that. and I want people to be mad at me.
Or gypsy toast.
Oh, gypsy toast?
Either one. That dates back to the 14th and 15th centuries.
I apologize for this. I need to send this very quickly. This is... an email that I have to send immediately.
It seemed like you were going to say something. I could just talk to Elliot if you want.
Nobody wants that. No? I walked in on it. I didn't care for it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
What do you got there? You got something that...
Let's see. Hold on. Let me do that.
By the way,
that's exactly right. Close enough.
I got to send that as a text.
Garrett, you are trying to reach. Still sucks.
Attaboy, Garrett. Look at you. God, I say it every time. Like, who would have ever thought that when you grew up in Michigan? Me? I'm an idiot?
Yes.
What? Oh. Why am I an idiot, Garrett?
I'd already got a letter.
He's already got an email.
Immediately.
Garrett's already got an email based on the people are already upset with him.
Oh, my God.
What does it say, Garrett?
It says, how dare you?
That's right. What's the subject line, please?
The subject line is Gypsy Tone. It's like they're listening
what
in.
What the hell?
Are we live streaming?
Is it from Tyler across the hall?
He's already got an email. People are already upset with him.
Now I see what's just happened.
Yeah. I sent the email to Garrett that I'm upset with the use of Gypsy. So don't send me emails. Guess what? You're getting at least one.
It's taken care of. Everybody.
You may now, and I may have started something, Garrett. You may now get thousands of emails.
Oh, no.
Which, you know what?
Who cares?
If they're all fun, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be one dickhead in there. What'd you say?
So the delete button works both ways.
It does. Does it?
Yeah.
I don't know why
can delete you.
One way, but.
Yeah. Delete you. Delete me.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that went the wrong way.
Yeah, the figure wasn't pointing where you wanted it.
No, I don't know who's. There's a. You know what? Here's what happened. Mm-hmm. There's a song by Dennis DeYoung, formerly of Styx, on one of his solo albums, obviously, where he says something you, something me. I can't remember the exact words. That's what was in my head when I said that. Mm. And then now you all have to suffer for what I just went through.
Yep.
It's a song. It might be Turn Off CNN is the name of a song.
Oh.
And then he's got another one where I think it's called You're an Asshole. With all due respect, You're an Asshole, talking about pundits on the...
This is Dennis DeYoung?
Of Styx.
This is like recent stuff?
I mean, last... one is fairly recent, but what, last 20 years maybe?
Okay.
That Turn Off CNN might be 20 years old.
Huh.
But it... with all due respect, You're an Asshole, if you listen to those lyrics... I don't know what side Dennis DeYoung is on.
Yes, yelling about CNN, you don't really know either. Because, like, on the one hand, I agree with him, but on the other hand, he might be saying, "Turn off CNN and turn on Fox News."
Yes, that's
which is not great.
He goes fake news, fake you, or fake news, fake you, or whatever they are, whatever the lyrics are. But
this is ridiculous. This is music.
It is. Well, you know,
it sounds like a bad comedy routine.
He always has. He's got a flair for the dramatic.
Yes.
He was, you know, really in a weird way, never fit in a rock band.
Right.
Even at their peak, he was the oddball out who. Would have more, you know, Broadway sounding songs.
Yes.
And then here comes Tommy Shaw and James Young with rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Dennis would call his stuff rock and roll. But these are two that are very much could be part of a, you know, a Broadway musical, quite mm-hmm. frankly. They could be, you know, he did write, you know, the story how he wrote Dennis Young wrote a whole musical based on The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And then was about to release it, and Disney announced new animated movie.
No.
You know, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and then like completely took him out at the knees.
Damn.
And that was going to be his big
that's crazy.
Post Styx.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look what I've done, America. Oof. Look what I've done, world.
Oops.
Yeah.
That is rough.
Yeah, and he would then since do one of the songs in concert, and he would basically tell that story, and he would just go, "Who knew?" And then, so he's kind of got a sense of humor about it.
That's good. I guess he's not hurting for money, so he can laugh about it on some level. It's not like, I put my fucking life savings into this project.
I would think Babe Alone, he's set for life, right? That song, Babe, I'm Leaving.
So, must be on my way.
The song you're talking about is With All Due Respect, right?
Yes.
The opening lyrics, with all due respect, talk, talk, yada, yada, blah, blah, woof, woof.
There it is. Which, again, it sounds like a Broadway musical. It sounds like something that would be on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, with the ensemble singing that stuff.
Yeah.
And then here comes the lead to sing the, whatever. What are the actual first lyrics, Garen?
Fake news, fake facts, new days, new hacks. I think the part you're thinking of,
yes.
He says, fake red, fake blue, fake me, will fake you.
Yeah, that's it. Well, fake me, will fake you.
Oh, so he's putting a little twist on it.
Instead of fuck
me,
you.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
With all due respect, you're an asshole.
With co-written by, nobody in this room will be able to guess it. One of the top five songs of the 80s. Co-written by the guy that wrote one of the top five songs of the 80s.
Simon Le Bon.
No. Horrible guess.
I know.
Is it someone who is... a singer also, or are they just strictly a songwriter?
This person has sung.
Okay.
But you don't really know. You know him as a songwriter and as a band member. You really only know his voice from one song, and it wouldn't be from the 80s. It's from the.
So he was in a band and wrote the songs for this band, but not. He wasn't the lead singer of that band.
That is correct.
Okay. And the band is what you're talking about. They made one of the biggest hits of the 80s.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
And then you wouldn't necessarily think of this guy as a singer as his main job.
I will repeat what I just told Matt. No.
Yeah. I'm reiterating it.
Okay, I thought you were just coming out of nowhere with like new questions.
No.
All right. No. This guy sang one song in. It's late 60s, early 70s. I don't remember the year, but that is not. You know that. So, by the way, you know that. Right. So you might, if you don't know that song, you may have heard it in your lifetime. Ignore that part of it. He sang on that. That's not.
But you're saying this band was around in the 60s all the way.
Not this band. No.
It's not Mutt Lang, is it?
It's not Mutt Lang.
Was this? Was he a guitarist?
He is a guitarist, yes. Okay. And maybe keyboards.
Oh.
Does that help us?
Eddie Van Halen.
It's Eddie Van Halen. So, no, he had a different band where he sang the song that we all know.
Gotcha.
But I'm begging you to ignore that. Begging you.
Oh, no, that wouldn't. I was going to say.
He then wrote a bunch of hits for another band, but then the band he was in, he wrote one of the biggest hits of the 80s and also other huge hits.
And we know this guy's name.
I don't know if you do.
Jesus, that's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem.
I opened up this whole segment by saying you're not going to know his name.
Yeah.
Well, so.
So what are we doing here, Nicholas?
I'm not sure.
Can you give us any kind of hint about the band that we would have best known that he was?
The guy was, he's the guitarist for this huge 80s band.
Yes, he's no longer in the band. He left at the end of the 80s, I believe.
Were they an American band?
It is not Grand Funk Railroad, if that's what you're asking.
No, I'm not asking that. I'm just asking.
They are an American band.
Is it a hair metal band?
No.
Are they from the Midwest?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Yes.
A Midwest.
See, these are good questions.
Kansas? Let's,
Garen, if you are not going to take the game seriously. No. It's not Kansas.
Are they considered?
Again, it is one of the biggest songs of the 80s.
And are they considered classic rock?
They would be considered roughly. Classic rock. Okay. But they got played on top 40 in the 80s as all that did.
Because their songs were hits.
Yes.
So they just, yeah.
And again, this particular song, you probably heard 10 times a day.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's true of a lot of songs in the 80s, so that doesn't help, really.
Was he in like the...
I'll say this, 20 times a day.
Was he in like the Steve Miller Band or something?
No, dude, come on, man. What are you, him? Take the game seriously.
Is this a band that you would go see in concert? Like
when?
Now. Like then, ever.
I wouldn't ever. Go now.
You wouldn't go now?
I wouldn't go
so now. So it's not like a Foreigner or like a 38 Special?
I'm not saying it's not.
Is it Foreigner?
It is not.
Is it 38 Special?
Here's what I'll say about that. I said that he wrote a bunch of songs for another band. He wrote a bunch of hit songs for 38 Special.
Okay. Oh,
that doesn't help me at all.
In addition to the songs he wrote for his own band.
Jesus Christ.
Which is insane.
I feel like you've mentioned this before, but this is not the kind of
thing. This is not fun for anybody.
No, and I feel like...
I acknowledge that.
I feel like when we hear the name, nothing.
Right.
When we hear the name of the song...
Or the
maybe,
band.
Yeah. Or the band, maybe something.
Oh, no. You'll know the band.
Sure.
Is it like...
You'll know the band immediately, and you'll know this once you
is it
get
Toto?
The once no. Once you get the band, you'll know exactly what the song is.
Okay,
because some people think it's their only hit.
It's Loverboy.
Come on, Garen. I can't. They're from Canada. We've already established they're from the Midwest.
So and also classic
I'm
rock.
I'm begging you to Loverboy's classic rock.
You think so?
Think so? You're challenging the king of classic rock about who's classic rock?
All right,
they are.
Okay,
maybe at the time they were.
You are not the king.
You could tell us.
Tell you
when Loverboy came out, I know you're the aficionado. Maybe people perceived them to be a slight more new wave than
specials. No, not really. No.
I don't know. Just image wise, I feel like they were a little hipper, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Wait, is it Quiet Riot? Are they from Canada too?
I swear to fucking God. I'm going
to
turn
metal. Think a huge one.
Yeah, I'm turning metal. Your microphone off. Although I'll tell you what, your point of people only think they had one hit. That's a good guess because Quiet Riot did have two other hits after Come On, Feel the Noise. They had Bang Your Head, and then they had Parenthetical Mental Health, Parenthetical Bang Your Head.
But you've already said this is not a hair metal band.
This is not a hair metal band.
This is a rock band. It's a classic rock band.
It is what now would be considered a classic rock band, but they were played nonstop on Top 40 radio. Mm-hmm.
We need some other clue.
You got Midwest.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. This guy still lives in the Midwest.
So is this band named after a location?
No way.
So it's not your Boston's, your Kansas. We already established.
Is it one word?
Yeah.
It's one word. Okay.
One word.
Asia?
Dude, they're from Asia. No, it's not Asia.
Oh, wait. Just quick side note. I stumbled on... You probably saw this when it was on the television, but I had never seen this before. It was Don Rickles hosting SNL in 1984.
Oh, whoa.
His monologue. Look it up. It's incredible. It's so offensive. So just know that going in. But there's one thing. I laughed for, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds after he said, I was sitting alone looking at my phone.
Yes.
He's doing a whole thing to a woman that he perceives to be Chinese. She's not. Oh, not no. Even, I'm not even sure she's Asian, honestly. Like, she could be. I don't know what. I don't. But they cut to her, and I'm like, dude, you're way off. But he just needed an excuse to go into his super offensive. If they get mad at you, they burn your shirt. Because of the ironing of the laundromat, I guess. And then so he's coming out of that insult riff, and he goes, oh, I don't care. I love everybody. You're fat. he cuts himself off. He's in the middle of saying, I love everybody, right. I'm accepting. He interrupts his own sentence to just point at a guy and say, you're fat. It was fucking amazing. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, it's a very weird... It goes on a long time,
yeah.
Which is fine, because he's doing his act.
He's basically doing Daria.
And he walks into the crowd, and John Madden is sitting in the second row. So he talks to John Madden. It's like a Vegas review, basically.
Love
like,
it.
Yeah, and then Brandon Tartikoff's in the front row, so he talks to him, the president of NBC.
BT's there?
Yeah. Very strange, but very funny.
And all right. We find that on, what's the?
YouTube. You can just look it
that's
up.
An obscure website.
Don Rickles,
SNL.
Yeah.
All right, back to business.
Yeah.
And
by the way, where's our guest?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay.
Did I miss anything?
I'm seeing if I missed anything.
Did not. No.
I can go and see if maybe he's already got let in.
I did hear some commotion in the hallway, Garen.
Oh, do you think he's sitting politely outside?
That's what I mean.
Not realizing that
it's Tim.
Yeah.
Tim Platt.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tim, are you in the hall? Open the door here. Hey, Tim, are you out there?
Timmy, can you hear me?
I'm going to say that he is not out there. Just got a text from a listener popping in to join the chorus of people saying thanks for the episodes this week. So appreciate it.
That's nice.
So that is what's that? They haven't heard Gypsy Toast yet?
That's what they were.
By the way, fantasy baseball team name, Gypsy Toast?
Yeah.
Gypsy Toast. Right? Because everybody in there is the Never Not Funny. I'm the Never Not Funny League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can go with that.
The Hooters.
No.
No, well, you said it was one word.
It's one word.
So there's Hooters. No the either.
Still no.
Eels.
No, no.
But, okay. So
I mean, let's agree now that without his shitty guesses, you guys will narrow this down quickly.
Oh, yeah. It'll be about an hour.
I mean, now we don't have to deal with his Kansas horse shit.
So you're saying this, the band.
I'm kidding, by the way.
Like, yeah, a lot of people would consider this band a one-hit wonder, but you're saying no, they had like two or three.
I think some people would consider them a one-hit wonder, but they had another song that was a huge hit, and then a few others that were top five, top ten.
All from one album or just over a few albums?
They had three off one album.
I mean, this isn't going to help me at all.
That's not going to help you.
I don't know why I'm asking.
The hit is off a different album than the other album that had the other hits.
Oh.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. That album is the same name as the song.
So is the name an animal or several animals?
The band name or the song?
The band name.
No.
So it's not animals.
It's one word.
It's one word.
And is it a person's last name or is it?
It is not.
It's an actual word. Is it a noun?
Like
yes.
Is it a made up noun or an actual like noun that we would recognize?
It's a word that you may use.
Is it plural?
No.
Singular noun.
Not a place.
No,
not
the.
A name.
It's not the.
No, the.
There's no the.
No animals.
Oh my God.
No. You think that this would help us? But
Matt just gave you a huge clue that you guys.
Wait.
What?
I'm not going to say it.
What'd you say?
He just gave.
I went. Bleh.
No.
Before that.
Prior to that,
I said there's no the, and it's
before that. You gave a great clue.
God damn it!
You stumbled onto a great clue.
I'm this close to stopping the tape and rolling it back. I don't know what the hell I said.
Come on! Is this fun for anybody?
No.
I'm not sure, but I can't stop.
Right?
Hey.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Are they still together?
They tour. This guy's not, like I said, he left the band.
Right.
They had two lead singers. They actually had three in their time, but two of them. One guy sang the song that is one of the biggest hits of the 80s, and the other guy sang the other huge hits that they had.
Okay.
And they're still together, and they do like they open for people like Casinos, okay. Which is amazing considering like the amount of hits that they had that they really can't sell out any place bigger than the Canyon Club.
Yeah.
All right, I just have to get this out. It's not Heart, obviously.
It is not Heart. They're from Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's are they from? At least do you know what state they're from?
Yeah.
Is it Illinois?
Yeah.
They're from Illinois.
Uh huh.
Oh my God.
Is this a band that you've mentioned many times on
sure.
this program?
And have you seen them? You said you wouldn't go see them now, but did you see them in the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Their name is a noun, one word.
That's right.
Is singular. It a place?
It is not
no,
a place.
No, place has nothing to do with it.
No.
beg you to tell me the definition of a noun.
I asked.
Hang on. Are you really yelling at him?
No.
Because okay. You should be.
No, but
in fairness, Garen was out of the room when you said,
oh, is that true?
There's no place.
Oh, very good.
Oh, sorry. I just went out to look for the kids.
Is that it was before you left.
Spelled, is it the thing that we recognize but spelled in a weird way?
No.
So it's spelled the way we'd expect it to be.
Is the lead singer famous?
No.
So we wouldn't know his name.
You would not know either of their names. You might know guy who sang the huge hit, you might know his name because he's kind of famous for something else.
Is he a murderer?
He is a murderer. He is O.J. Simpson.
Oh, I didn't realize he was in a band.
Yes. I'm taking my jacket off because it's getting a little warm. And then you get to see the great shirt that my family got me for my birthday.
That's awesome.
The Rockford Agency.
That's cool.
Even as a kid.
It's a very cool shirt.
When I saw the Yellow Pages ad in the television show.
Yes.
I said, you're a private investigator. Why is your face there?
Good call.
That's a good call.
Yeah, you should not be showing everyone what you look like.
Yep.
It could screw you up big time. Hey, aren't you the guy from the Yellow Pages?
I believe you can get this on TeePublic, but they got it at the store next to the Los Feliz 3 movie theater.
It's very cool. I'm very excited with that shirt.
Yeah.
Actually,
I've also got it in green.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the green pages?
We had a problem with some sizing or something, so then we... asked for it. They didn't send the right. Who gives a shit? I now have one in yellow, one in green, courtesy of TeePublic and their error.
Hmm. Ah.
So.
Cool. The problem is, whatever this band is, I don't know I never knew. I guarantee once you say it, I'll be like, I never knew they were from Illinois.
You might not.
So that doesn't help me. But what you're describing is a band that has like a heartland vibe to it. It's a classic rock, down the middle.
Yeah.
Guitars, and again, drums, bass.
There's one board. Big clue about the big hit that you've missed.
Is it in a movie?
Yeah.
Is it on the soundtrack?
Yes.
Okay, it's on one of the big soundtracks of the 80s? Or is it on a soundtrack from more recently than that?
Survivor.
It's Survivor.
Survivor's the band.
Okay. So the song you're talking about is Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
Okay. And where you got close to a great hint was... when he said, is it an animal? And you went, the song or the band? And I said, the band, but you could have easily gone back because then I had the tiger.
Right.
So that was a good question on both parts.
Yeah.
So I had the tiger.
So we solved it. We don't know the name of the
guitarist. I don't know the name of any of the people in that band.
Jim Peterik. He co-wrote that song by Dennis Young that we talked about 45 minutes ago.
And who's Dennis Young? Right? That's how long it's been. I've forgotten who that is. You have mentioned Jim Peterik on the show many times. Now that you say it, I definitely recognize the name.
And he had a big hit with the band The Ides of March when he was younger. And that song was... I'm your friendless stranger in the black sedan. Won't you come inside my car? I got another van. I'm going to take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. I'm your vehicle, woman. And that I'm sure you know that I love you, need you, not to got to get in my great God in heaven, you know I love you.
That horn section is pretty nice.
It's awesome.
Yeah. All of that has come up before. That's why I know that name.
So there you have it. Jim Peterik, who was just on a cruise, and I believe maybe an Alaskan cruise. I don't think as the entertainment, he was there as like, hey, I'm taking a cruise with a listener of Never Not Funny. Listener was also on that cruise.
That's weird.
And said, send me the photo. Goes, look who's on this cruise. He got up and told some stories and did some songs one night.
That's insane.
Yeah. And again, doesn't sound like he was part of the entertainment.
Just a happenstance.
Yeah.
You're right in that it is weird that they can't sell out bigger places on their own. That's because that is a name of the 80s. Like,
yeah.
Right. I mean, so that, and the other one is The Search Is Over was a huge hit. Yeah. High on You was a huge hit.
Yes.
Can't Hold Back was a huge hit.
The problem is those three songs all go together. They do not sound anything like their biggest hit.
No, they don't.
So you wouldn't even know. Like, I don't think when I was a kid, I don't think I realized that those songs.
Well, different singer.
Right. Kind of like when I was, I think I heard, What's the big hit from Chicago for the 89 hit?
Look Away.
Look Away. I heard that on the radio last night, and I was like, yeah, I don't know if I knew that this was Chicago in the 80s, because it's a different vocalist, and I'm just like, it still sounds like those later Cetera hits, but because the vocal is different, same thing. It's like, this could be anybody. There were so many songs that sounded like that at that time.
And it was written by Diane Warren,
yeah,
which proves your point. Like, everybody, right. Anybody that had a hit in that era, it was Desmond Child or Diane Warren, right. Or Holly Knight. Those were the three.
And it was almost, I said that to Elise, like, it's like, you can like this song or not like this song, but you can't say you like it because it's Chicago, because anybody could have recorded that.
Yeah. And it's Bill Champlin on vocal. Mm-hmm. And it certainly is. That Look Away, which I do like that song, but Look Away is a perfect example of, if somebody says, I don't like Chicago because they don't sound like they did in the 70s, that's the song to point to.
Yes.
Because the other Chicago songs from that era, you could go, oh, yeah, there's the horn. There's the horns, yeah, in the background. There's the harmonies.
There's any horn in Look Away.
No, there's not.
There's a lot of keyboard.
If you see me.
It's also the most sad sack song of all time.
Mm-hmm. Look Away, but dude.
It just, you're describing such a...
But have you never been that... You've been that brokenhearted.
Yeah, but don't sing about it. It's embarrassing.
There'd be no music.
It's cringy.
There'd be no music if we didn't sing about heartbreak.
I know, but like, turn it around. Like, have the end be like, and then I banged a lady on the road.
Of course he did, but he's not going to sing that part of it. He's got to keep that quiet.
That wasn't their image at the time. You know, like, they were the counter-programming to the hair metal We Bang Chicks after the show.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Chicago is probably getting just as much push, yeah. I'll tell you that.
Well, because that song is engineered to drop the panties of the housewives of the Midwest. Like, that's what they were going for, and I'm sure it worked brilliantly. But to me, it just goes, man, have some self-respect.
Well, not only that, but like, if you don't want somebody to see you, then don't go out. Put on a hoodie, right. You know, a cap.
Yeah.
You know? Stick to the shadows.
Serious question.
Yeah.
To ignore whatever you're doing. Do you think the trombone was used for sexual pleasure in any way?
Oh, I hope not.
What? You don't think so?
I think
I'm not saying
not
I don't think so. I'm saying
in the right way.
I'm saying in the debauchery of the 70s, touring, cocaine, drink, everything. You don't think that trombone came out to do something?
There's no question that some lady got a trumpet blown up her pussy at some point.
Right.
And no one knows why it happened that to this day.
I mean, vibrations could be fine.
Seeing that? Spread your legs. Spread.
I think only rusty trombones are used that way.
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, that's nice, Garen.
Yeah. My pleasure.
all right. Why don't we do this? Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we will either have a guest or we won't have a guest. I don't know what's happening. There was confirmation. And but maybe something's gone awry.
Some wires are crossed.
Yeah, I don't know what. I'm very confused.
Yeah.
So you know what though? We're already an hour in. If we don't have a guest, we don't have a guest. So be it. We do have the letter game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, look, we just spent 40 minutes talking about Survivor.
We didn't know it.
Filling the time isn't the problem.
Only one of us knew with that. That's what we were doing. But yeah.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
Hey gang, Matt here with some dates for you. No guest, obviously, so I'll just tell you to check out Jimmy Pardo on Blue Sky. He's over there now, so that'll be fun if you want to check him out. I actually went over there, having not been on Twitter in years, and I saw some funny jokes of his that I didn't have received before, so that was fun. I got to laugh a little bit and enjoy myself. So check that out. And then Instagram, you know where we are, at Never Not Funny, and Facebook and all that other stuff. So check that out. And then Jimmy is doing his holiday Zoom show on December 6th. That is through Flappers, so go to flapperscomedy.com if you want to be. It's kind of a hangout. You can request a bit, maybe be a part of some crowd work, and that'll be fun for you. And then on the 7th, if you're in Burbank or anywhere near Burbank, you can go to Flappers and see him in person in the Yoohoo Room doing a stand-up comedy set, so that'll be fun. And finally, don't forget we're doing our sidewalk sale over at nevernotfunny.com. Just click the store link to get to it. And you'll see new stuff every week. Jimmy puts stuff up on Sundays. There's some very limited items that come and go quickly because they sell out almost immediately. So try to get in on that. But then there's some other stuff that maybe there's a few more of, and so they don't sell out right away. Check it all out at nevernotfunny.com. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, episode 35L of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. I could, as they say on the British panel game shows, when they announce the score, they always say, I can now tell you that that Elliot's team has won 5-4 over Matt. So I can now tell you that our guest is not coming. In the break, we called his representation, and there was a misunderstanding on their part on dates. So therefore, we are guest free today. That was not the plan, but here we are. We know a lot of you like these shows more. You don't like the guest coming in and mucking things up, right? Going against the whirlpool.
We've had over 1,000 episodes. We're not 2,000 yet, right?
No, but we're probably closing in on it.
And so, how many times has that happened? Four.
Where what?
Remarkably,
where guest has kind of screwed up, been sick.
There's that time that Maria screwed up, but she did end up showing up, I think, right?
Yeah, we've had times where, or when somebody cancels last minute and we reach out and say, hey, get over here to somebody else.
Rich Summer, who's nearby.
But we don't do that anymore. Now it's, actually just not showing up, probably four, five, maybe?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good average.
Have we said publicly that the one that, and I can't explain it without giving it away, but there was someone who was booked who didn't show up and
write it down so I can see who you're talking about. Because your question is, can we say it publicly? And if you write it down and show it to me, I will give you the answer to that.
I'm blanking on her name, but
it's a lady.
Yeah.
I think I know.
I don't
think I
was
know
there
too.
A. Driving situation.
Oh, I don't know. Is that who we're talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Even though I feel like you may have mentioned it before.
I might have mentioned it. I mean, if the fans know, they know.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we need to, to
put a spotlight on that.
And as a reminder, that was the second or third time that person did that to us.
And then, I'm not, it's not the end of the world, but I was bummed that you didn't make it, and I'm bummed that she's now banned from the show.
Well, I'm okay with it now. At the time, I was bummed by it, but now it's like I'm good.
I'm good. Obviously, it's all fine.
And by the way, this person is omnipresent. You can get your fix of this folk of this person.
It's Tulsi Gabbard. Okay, I'll just say it.
It was a surprising get.
Another fine choice for the cabinet.
Yeah.
What, she's in the cabinet now, too?
She's
going to be the director of national intelligence. You know, just a Russian asset with access to all of our most important secrets.
Getting out of hand.
Yes, it is, Garen. And the whole thing about the recess thing, that that he wants to be able to confirm people while the Senate is off at recess, meaning a non... What's the phrase? I my brain is not...
Out of session...
But the word recess is in it. It's something recess confirmation.
I don't know.
So meaning I think they either were trying to push it through or they want to push it through. They were trying, or it did happen where they could confirm somebody for his cabinet even if they're at recess, meaning you wouldn't have to have the Senate vote on it, which is the whole thing of what's happened over the
right.
Yeah. I mean,
he's becoming a king. Right in front of our eyes, and we're fucking letting it happen.
Every session of Congress, they rewrite their own rules. And the rules, there are very few rules in the House of Representatives or in the Senate that are in the Constitution. So they could say, we're just going to rubber stamp everything the president wants. They could do that.
Sure.
Ain't
good.
And they will anyway, because they have control of both chambers.
So,
recess appointments.
There you go.
Recess appointments, yes.
I mean, that's the thing that's happened before, though. It's not unique to him.
Apparently at the level he wants to do it.
Sure. Well, he's playing the game. He's pulling all the levers.
Yeah. Well, the good news is if there's a problem, they just bring it to the Supreme Court and they'll shut it down.
Yeah. At least that's still
at least we have that.
Trustworthy.
At least we have that.
The last time I had a recess appointment, it was Foursquare.
Hey! Hey, speaking of appointments, have you gotten your results back on that thing on your forehead?
No.
Have you tried taking that bandage off?
Yeah, I took it off for a day, and then it still was like not strong enough to
not ready, not cooked.
Yeah, it needs just a little more time in the oven.
That's a nice. Did they give you those tiny bandages?
No,
that's just a regular round bandage.
Yeah.
Oh, from a distance, the round part blends in nicely with your skin, so it just looks like a square.
Right. Yeah. I wish that
which is perfect for you.
If that square were skin color, then you probably wouldn't even see it.
Yeah.
That's
right.
So why did they just make that part white? Because the rest of it is.
Well, really, you know of any skin colored gauze?
I know that's part of the thing. That's part of the Band-Aid.
Yeah, right. It's that little side. It's that little side.
Oh, no. I think you could make gauze any color you want.
But I've never seen it. I've only seen...
I ordered some new ones because, like, I don't know if you've noticed this, if you've been shopping for Band-Aids lately, but used to be, like, you'd go to a pharmacy and they'd have so many different thing, like it would be like a whole aisle of Band-Aids of every shape and size you could possibly imagine. You'd be like, I can't believe this is all here. Now you go, the aisle is just as big, there's just as many boxes of things, but no selection of what you want. It's all just like, this is assorted sizes, but they're all the same standard shape. Or there's like, I got this one, like that was the only one that had a circle thing in it at all. And then some of them are just like, then they're trying to sell you stuff that's like, this is it looks like a bottle of Whiteout, but you're supposed to dab it on your thing and it forms a synthetic skin, which I've tried and the results were not great.
Liquid skin?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like those are only good if...
I think it's good for your fingertip.
That's a good call.
Good for your fingertip. It's good for when the major bleeding and, if I may say, oozing has ended, but you still need to protect it.
Yeah.
You're not putting that on immediately.
Right.
No, I think it's a bad idea.
I think it's a horrible idea.
It would get into the wound.
You could also just use, if I may, super glue. That's what they use in the emergency room.
Sure.
Yeah.
By the way, don't do that. I am not a doctor.
But when
I am not a doctor. Just,
when I took it off, like, there's kind of like a hole in my head right now.
Well, that's what they did. They drilled a hole in your head and took it to send it to electron microscope.
When they said they were scraping, it sounded more of like a surface situation, but this was not surface.
Oh, no,
level.
They got to go in because they got to make sure that it's not cancerous.
It's a three-dimensional scrape.
So whenever the results come back and whatever the course of action that dictates, my main thing is like, can you seal this hole? can you make it so I don't have a big hole in my head? And it's not that big.
My guess is that they will. They'll be able to do that. And you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, no, I know.
No matter what the results are. And again, as I said, even if the results are bad, I know from my face right there, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And they will take care of it.
There's more meat on the cheek. Up on the forehead, there's not a lot of meat.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair.
That's why it's not healing. You know, it's just
readily.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just meant cancer-wise, you'll be okay.
Oh, sure.
I don't care how you look.
I'm not worried about that. I don't. And also, like, if it comes back and they're like, oh, yeah, we got to remove it, I'm like, I think you already did. It looks like you went all the way in there.
There's not a lot of there's not a lot of meat there, so you can't go much deep. But it could go wider. That's where they need to. And that's what they do with that Mohs thing, is every time they do it, they slice a little bit wider until they go, okay, now we've got it. We don't have to go any wider than that. Then they cinch it up and you're good to go.
And that's named after Moe from The Simpsons.
I thought it was the Three Stooges, but it's certainly from some comedic character.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No doubt. Maybe Moe Bandy. Maybe country great Moe Bandy.
Nope.
Not even sure that's a real name.
It sounds like a
it
name
does,
that
doesn't
an,
it?
A, well, it sounds like a name that an AI would come up with to make you think it was a real name.
Look at it. Garen, we had a Moe Bandy. Moebandy. Standard spelling of both those names. Country music artist.
Yeah. American singer.
What was his big hit? I remember selling it. People would come in and buy Moe Bandy albums at the record store, but I couldn't tell you a single song by him.
Hmm. He was most popular in the 70s, several hit songs. What's his biggest one? 1975 song written by friend Lefty Frizzell. Bandy the Rodeo Clown?
That's it. Bandy the Rodeo Clown.
I'll tell you what Apple Music thinks his biggest song is.
Well, it better be this Rodeo Clown song.
I just started hating cheating songs today.
That's not what I expected this guy to look like.
What does he look like? Yeah, I didn't expect that either.
He looks kind of like Pat Sajak with a beard.
No, I was going to say he looks like the sidekick from Home Improvement.
Maybe from a distance, not up close.
Okay, fair enough.
I will say this. He looks like he could be the fourth Statler brother. Like, not the leader of the Statler brothers, but he's certainly in the Statler brothers. He doesn't look like a solo artist.
Okay, so his top song on here is from 1979. Sounds like it could be the theme song for Dukes of Hazzard, although I don't think that's the name of this song.
It might be.
Just Good Old Boys.
Play it. I think, you know what? I think that's how we know Moe Bandy's name. Nope, maybe not. No, that's Waylon Jennings.
Yeah, that's right.
This is a very country song.
Yeah. This is reminding me why I hated country music as a kid.
In 1979, Bandy joined forces with Joe Stampley and recorded a tongue-in-cheek novelty single, Just Good Old Boys, that went on to top the country chart, and it led to a continuation of their partnership.
All right, so let's refer to Mo Bandy. That's a novelty song.
Mo and okay. Joe, they were called.
Okay.
Here's his fourth most popular song is called Here I Am, I'm Drunk Again.
Oh, boy.
That's what I say about playing his music.
His first solo number one was called I Cheated Me Right Out of You. That was in 1979.
The album cover of this is just a guitar with a guitar strap, a leather guitar strap with his name on it.
Well, as you know, singer on. All right, play a little bit of that. What was that, Garen?
Bandy the Rodeo Clown? That's number three.
I just started hating, cheating. Oh. Wait, no.
No, I cheated myself out of you.
These are albums. Yes.
I cheated myself out of you.
I cheated myself right out of you from the very best volume.
Volume?
Volume one.
There can't be a volume two.
That other one was from volume four.
Pardon?
Yeah, I'm Drunk Again was in volume four.
His last album was 2020.
I mean, this just sounds like it's off the Urban Cowboy soundtrack. It sounds like...
I mean, this is no worse than all of the pop songs that we can't remember the name of because they all sound like the one popular one from the season before.
Yeah. Hmm. This sounds like generic country hit.
Generic country music. And if you like let's say you're working on your truck in your garage and you just want to listen to some country music, you turn it on the radio,
sure.
It's not going to hurt your feelings.
Not going to... Cheated myself. You.
God, this sucks.
that's the great Mo Bandy.
You said it couldn't hurt. It hurts me. It absolutely hurts me.
What about Andy the Rodeo Clown? Let's hear a little bit of that.
Hey, you're not working on your truck out in the garage.
No, I'm not.
Sounds like a Glenn Campbell ripoff.
A little bit, right? It's that same. What's the song we're thinking of?
Jello on My Mind, maybe?
Yeah. It super is.
Yeah, my God.
I don't dislike it.
But that's why, is because it sounds so much like the other song.
Yeah, it sounds like. All right.
It's like a parody almost at that point.
It is dangerously close to that Glenn Campbell's tune.
Yeah.
Like if it was today, he'd probably be sued about it.
Right?
It also just, like, the way it's so simplistically constructed reminds me of, like, bad Christmas songs. You know, how it's just like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, there's just no fucking, nothing else
this,
to it.
Again, confirms, you are Scrooge.
This guy is actually a huge artist, and I don't think I've ever heard of him.
Mo Bandy. I'm telling you, I worked at a record store where R&B... and 80s metal sold more than anything else, and people would come in for Mo Bandy. So, like, to your point, Garen, he must have clearly bigger than I even knew.
Yeah, 36 studio albums, 7 compilation albums, 3 live albums, 54 singles, and 4 music videos. 51 of his singles charted on the Hot Country charts, Billboard Hot Country songs, between 1974 and 1989.
How many albums has he sold? Does it give any indication on that? Like, the... blank album sold 40 million copies, or certainly it's not going to be that number, but you know my point.
Yeah, it's probably more like there's 1 billion.
There's 12 volumes of his greatest hits on Apple Music.
That's a lot of...
that's as many as albums he has.
So it
some artists don't even have 12 albums.
So it sounds like he just writes a bunch of songs, and then there's a bunch that he doesn't like, and he puts the best of what he wrote on his albums.
Yeah.
He has 5 gold albums.
All right, so that's 500... But that's only 500,000. Mm-hmm.
This is his second most popular song, Till I'm Too Old to Die.
It all sounds the same. I'll say the same thing I said once about Steve Miller. Somebody in the world,
is
their favorite artist. Well, you know what my dad loves? Mo Bandy. And, and sincerely, go to his room, he's got Mo Bandy posters. Hey, Dad, you coming to my graduation? I'd like to, but Mo Bandy's in town.
I'm more concerned that this father has posters in his bedroom.
Framed. They're framed. He's got respect. He's not a teenager. Puts him in a frame so he's a little classier.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I think it's maybe instructional to look at the songs he's written. If I'm reading this correctly and I'm not getting the information wrong, I think he wrote Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Wait, whoa. What?
We gotta double check me on that.
That sounds about right, honestly.
It sounds like it might be instructional to read this. So you're saying he wrote that, but he did not have the hit with it.
It seems like that may be true.
Garen, is that what you're getting as well on Mo Bandy?
It is not an hit.
Go to his website and see if we can just call him.
We need our best men on this.
He's got a theater.
In Branson?
You don't even have to guess, yes.
Jesus Christ.
Mo Bandy strikes me as a guy that if we went to his website... Like, it was a contact, and we'd call. And
you would email. It would be him.
It'd be him.
Yes.
Like, you're getting by. Why do I think that? Mo Bandy's got more albums than...
No, but...
February 9th, 2025 through February 16th, 2025, Mo Bandy Country Jamboree on the Harmony of the Seas 7-night Western Caribbean cruise.
Oh, my God, a country cruise.
Ew.
This guy's... He's doing it.
Imagine the red hats on that fucking cruise.
Oof.
Good Lord.
Just a sea of red.
Treating the minority service people on the ship shittily.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them. I recognize that. Save your fucking emails, you fucking pro club fucks. Fucking fuck, fucking fucks. All right. Now, we're all caught up. I'm guessing the Belknaps are not, because what I learned on Facebook was yesterday was Elisa's birthday.
Yeah.
So my guess is you were not at home watching The Floor.
We're like 2.5 behind.
Oh, you're that far behind.
Yeah.
But several weeks ago, Garen on this very program said he had a problem with something on The Floor.
Yes, and I texted him about it.
Yeah.
And then when he told me, I was like, I don't even remember that happening. And what he described... To me, just sounds like the way you're supposed to play.
All right, Garen, tell me what's going on.
In this very conversation, I recognize that this woman, the way she was guessing to me was not quite the spirit of the game for some reason.
What do you mean?
She just started rattling off an answer like which boots, shoes, but like over, like quick.
Until you're right.
Oh, instead of, okay.
It just... For a season and a half, everyone's been sort of had the same kind of a way of answering questions.
But the rules are, you can keep guessing until you get it.
I reckon 100%.
And that's a better strategy than taking the 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, it depends.
Yeah.
If you get it within 2 seconds. By the way, when they penalize you 3 seconds, they penalize you 6 seconds. Because it takes them 3 fucking seconds to show you the next one. And that is ridiculous. Just say it's 5 seconds and then get to the fucking next thing. It's overly penalizing.
So we went to watch it last night at the house, Garen. Not Danielle, because she's out. But she said, because Oliver and I were like, we have to catch up on this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danielle's like, all right, well, I'll let you guys watch that. I'll go and watch whatever shit thing I'm going to watch in the other room. And we're like, really? You don't want to watch this? She goes, I don't need to watch adults just name things. And it's like, all right. I think Oliver and I both went, it's a little more nuanced than that. Now, I don't want to, no spoilers, but I have to do this. One of them was American Inventions, where it just
I've
was
seen that one.
Things.
Yes.
So it truly was just
well,
telephone, light bulb,
yes.
Planter, couch, mattress, like just.
That's my new thing watching it is when they say what the category is, I start trying to guess what the things are going to be before they start. Because a lot of times it's just like, well, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Subway, like you just know the big ones are going to be.
You're talking about fast food?
That's right.
I feel like this show is actually Trivia Panic, the game show. Like, it's not about knowing things.
It's
about
testing if you can recall this number of things. Yes. In the
and if the pressure will hit
you. And then last night there was somebody, again, I apologize. By the time this comes out, one of the categories is gems. Gems ain't the same as fast food, my
no
man.
No shit. Some of the categories are like crazy. Yeah, it's weird. But it's such a wide range of things that are general knowledge, basically, and then things that are like very not general knowledge at all.
No, gems is very specific, and it's very much who is just going to be the last man standing when the time runs out, because both of them are just tossing darts.
Mm-hmm. Also, I don't like that they've given away that these, I mean, I actually do, I guess I like the transparency, But they've made no secret of the fact that these people go back to their hotel rooms and study, like, in between tapings. So somebody can inherit a category, and usually you would think, oh, they inherited this category, that means they might not be very good at it. Not so fast. They've been doing nothing but reading about it for 6 hours last
night. Or, unless they get called out immediately.
Right.
But somebody gave...
But that's why it's unfair.
Somebody gave this away.
Yeah.
That they've been studying all the ones around them.
Right.
So that they're ready.
Which is smart, but also kind of like, I don't know, there was one guy that did that and then it didn't help him. Like, I could see that backfiring. Like, you think, oh, well, I studied this so I can handle
it. Oh, there were state capitals. Did you see that guy?
Oof. It wasn't that one. It was currency. Remember
that's
currency
the guy who said, oh, I picked this category because it would scare everybody off. It's like, I don't know shit about currency.
Right.
Oh, so maybe I'm wrong. I thought he had studied it.
No, well, he might have after the fact, but he said, I picked this so people would not pick me.
Right. And then he got picked and neither of them knew what the fuck was going on. It was just like, I don't know, peso? And they just said peso for everything.
Somebody did.
I wouldn't have known either, quite frankly.
Because there is more than one peso in the world. So they're just like, peso. It's like, it's not fucking peso.
I think you're being generous. They were thinking of the one peso.
Right, right. But it's like, dude, it's Vietnam. It's clearly not the peso.
Bot? Is Vietnam bot?
I think it's dong.
No, bots are those people that follow me on Twitter.
Oh, that's a good point.
But I didn't know shit either. I was just like, man, I don't know shit about geography or currency. Like, I'm way out of my
geography. Is I can get geography. I got state capitals. Didn't miss a one. And they did it where they showed you the shape of the state.
Oh, that makes it a little tougher.
And so you had to know the shape of the state.
Yeah.
And
then know the capital.
State capital. Whereas when they called state capital, the contestant as well as Oliver and I all thought they're going to give you the state capital. You got to say what state it is,
right,
or vice versa.
Yeah.
Not picture.
State.
Now give me the state capital.
Huh.
A little rough.
That's state capitals. That was a thing that I think I knew for a month and a half when I was 10 and a month and a half when my kids were learning it.
Right.
And never before or after. I just like, I know that they used to, there's one of those, I think it was Wood Ranch. They had a kids menu that was one side of it was like, guess the state capitals. And so we would play that. And then we found out there were like four or five typos on the menu. So that was kind of funny. But that was when Zoe was learning it or Charlie was learning it. So we all kind of knew. And I couldn't do it for $1 million.
What's the state capital of Wyoming? That's what the typo.
Wyoming.
Is Wyoming, is Cheyenne? No.
Oddly enough, I knew it when they showed it on this program, but I couldn't tell you what it is now.
Is it Cheyenne?
Cheyenne,
it's not Jackson Hole, which is the only place I know in Wyoming because I've been there.
Cheyenne sounds right.
But that could be like North Dakota or something too.
Cheyenne.
It is Cheyenne.
North Dakota is, South Dakota is another city. It's a state.
It's a state.
But the state capital is another city.
Bismarck,
North Dakota.
North Dakota.
Yeah. And South Dakota, is it Sioux City?
Sioux Falls. No, not Sioux Falls. Yes. No. Is it?
It's, oh boy.
Mount Rushmore's in Sioux City.
Okay.
Right? Isn't it?
I don't know.
I've been there. Why am I blanking?
The capital of South Dakota. Do you want the letter or do you want to just tell you?
Yeah, give me letter. The letter.
P.
Piedmont?
No.
Pierre. And is Sioux City where Mount Rushmore is, Garen? I mean, this.
And is Bismarck, North Dakota's capital?
What?
That is right.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
Mount Rushmore is in Keystone, South Dakota.
What big city is it near, Garen? Nobody's flying into Keystone. That's my point. God damn it.
Well, the cops might.
Shut up. Well, they won't because they won't find their way in.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, because they're a mess.
Yeah.
Rapid City.
That's right. Rapid City, South Dakota. My first road gig.
Oh.
Wow.
Rapid City. My first road gig that I flew to. I was still working at MCA Records, and I flew to Rapid City to do stand-up. I opened for a guy named C. Wayne Owens, who has since passed away. The audiences did not care for James R. Pardo Jr., and they loved C. Wayne Owens. And at the time, it made me angry because it's like, I'm better than him. He's a hack. And in reality, he was a decent comic, and I wasn't ready to be booked.
He was doing his job, and
yes, you
were not.
And I was not. I was not.
So you were looking out at a whole room full of that national treasure, Mount Rushmore, just stone.
Oh, just a lot of stone faces. a lot of stone.
Like, oh. I was starting the joke, and I was like, I can't think of the name Mount Rushmore that you just said 30 seconds ago.
It It was rough.
Yeah.
It was rough. And then the feedback from the club and from C. Wayne to the booker was his material didn't go over, but all of his asides were really funny. Huh. And I don't disagree with that. So luckily, that then got me booked by that booker because he's like, oh, the guy's good, but he just had, and my material sucked, but me saving things and me being in the moment, I wasn't even a crowd work guy yet. I just was like, I had to comment because I wasn't getting laughs.
You were in the deep end of the pool and you had to do something to
just flailing, flailing about trying to grab the rope.
Yeah.
And so I don't drown. And also then going, and now I got to do it again tomorrow night. One show Friday, one show Saturday. What did I do Saturday afternoon? Any guesses? What did I do Saturday?
Watched a movie.
No.
Masturbated.
Well, let's assume that's always on the table.
Got drunk.
No. It can't be more obvious, guys.
You went to Mount Rushmore.
I went to Mount Rushmore, yeah. Right. Yeah, went to Mount Rushmore. Because how do you not?
Yeah, if you're there.
Right? And then I went, when I worked there again, it was part of the Bob and Tom comedy tour with a friend of the show, Shane Moss, and April Macy, and I want to say Roy Wood.
Oh, wow.
Junior, not the old man. Mm-hmm. Me, and then who would the other guy be? Maybe Drew Hastings. Did I say Drew Hastings? Jimmy, we're going to all go to Mount Rushmore. Now, here's the thing about Mount Rushmore. They're talking about putting Trump up there, and I'm behind it. I did not go because it's like, I've seen it.
Yeah. And it's, we've talked about this before. It's so unsatisfying.
It's so unsatisfying.
It's so far, the lookout, the place you go, the visitor center is so far away from the actual fucking thing that you might as well just look at a postcard.
It's 100%. And then I believe I've said this on the show, the time I did go, it was rainy. So it wasn't, it just blended in with the rest of the rock. It didn't stand out because the rain made it dark.
What would be cool is if it was like the Hollywood sign where you could kind of hike up near it and then maybe even hike up on top behind it.
I thought that's what was going to
happen. Well, I think in the 50s you used to be able to go on top.
Was that true?
It. Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
On top of Mount Rushmore. That's the song. On top of Mount Rushmore, on Jefferson's nose. Those are the words.
Well, that would be dangerous.
Bring it on, Yankovic.
You can't go down.
No, it's a slide. It's like a water park.
Oh, be careful.
Go right down it.
Please be careful.
Yeah, safety first at all times. Then we went to see the Crazy Horse. Went to see that monument, which was... If it's finished now, it was not in 1989 when I was there.
It's still unfinished. I think that's the...
Well,
that's the hook, right?
Yeah.
I hate to use that word.
I think accidentally that has become sort of the significance of it or whatever.
Mount Rushmore is also not finished. They were supposed to be the entire bodies.
Oh, I didn't know.
Is that accurate?
I believe so.
I sat through a presentation when I was there.
I'm almost positive the original plan was that, I believe.
I'm going to say this. I sat through a presentation, but it was basically just get this presentation over with so you could open that curtain and let me see the fucking thing. Let me walk outside with your quarter telescope, put a quarter in, and then hope.
Those things suck,
too. They suck.
Yeah, it's all bad.
Hey, can you make these heavier and less wieldy?
Less wieldy.
I mean, you know, they're just so... Yeah,
I know. They don't have a good range of motion. Hey, so you mentioned... when you said friend of the show, and then you also mentioned Roy Wood, who's not a friend of the show, but would be great to have on. It reminded me, and I feel like I've been meaning to say this for a few months. I had been watching a lot of The Daily Show's YouTube content in the lead up to the election. And I just want to give a quick shout out to our friend Michael Costa, who does such a great job on that show.
Yeah.
He's so funny on it. Mm. It's great to see. I love to see it. I love to see a guy... succeeding, and he plays the dumb white Republican guy very well. That's not the only thing he does there, but that's one of his assignments at times, which is really fun. But even when he's at the desk, like, you know, because they rotate, he's great at it. He's really good.
Nice. Michael Costa, and that's the cast of Doing Business, which may, again, I stand by, maybe the greatest hook catchphrase for any television show.
It looks like Mount Rushmore was supposed to be waist up originally.
Waist up.
Ran out of money before they even started.
So like busts.
So, well, now it's bust. No, this was going to be waist. No, so belt.
I think it's just face.
There's some shoulder, I think, in there.
I don't think so.
No, it's just heads.
Just heads?
Yeah.
If the shoulder, just barely.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, I guess there's a little bit of shoulder for Washington, which is the first time I've ever seen this, by the way. Yeah. I've never seen that. It looks like he has a jacket almost.
Yeah. You've never seen Mount Rushmore?
Not in person, but I've always only pictured that. I've never seen, like, let me show you.
We see a lot of drawings of it in the world. You know, like you see a lot of representations of it that might not be totally accurate, but
yeah,
I don't think it would have been as good with,
oh, you can't see it on this
going down to the waist.
Yeah.
I think it works. Like, I think it works as is.
Yeah.
Collar right here.
Yeah. You do have a little collar for Washington.
Yeah. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree, by the way, cause there's an image of like the sample sculpture they did at, you know, human scale. It would look dumb. It would look dumb.
Some might argue this looks dumb.
It is arguably dumb when you know all the history of it.
Looking at it now, and I understand why Teddy Roosevelt was like, he sort of created the idea of national parks, but he really sticks out. Well, amongst those other three guys,
You have in there then?
Maybe FDR.
Mm. Yeah.
I think FDR is the obvious move.
What about W? W, by the way, who could not endorse a president, but then showed up at a football game. You know, he's like, you know, he's retired. He's not doing anything. Happy to show up and give a nice wave to on the field of a football thing. Mm. I know the two don't align, but you can't go. It's not. I don't think it's cool that you're in hiding for 3 months before an election, a very consequential one, where maybe your endorsement against Trump would have been helpful. An endorsement of not Trump would have been helpful. Maybe you don't come out the very next weekend,
right?
To a personal appearance at a football game.
Not a good look. Yeah.
Not a good look.
But
of all the good things that guy's done, it seems weird they would go against.
I mean, he's been so great otherwise. It's hard to ding
very
him
smart
for that.
Politician all the way around.
He owned a baseball team at one point.
Yeah, should have stayed that way.
Yep.
Yeah,
should have made him commissioner.
Agreed.
He would have probably enjoyed it more.
That guy in the '80s should have stayed an actor. So right. A lot of things. And this guy,
except he sucked at that too. So I mean, he should have done something. Maybe just hosted shows.
Was like he a good governor?
I don't.
Ronald Reagan.
I doubt it.
I mean, on balance, no. He did some okay things, but he was the one who closed all of our mental facilities.
Oh, he did? See, I know nothing about him as a governor. Zero.
So part of it was, it made sense. The reason why people were sort of on board is that there was a lot of abuse in our mental facilities in California.
I believe Geraldo Rivera, or that was in New York, rather. Maybe. Go ahead.
But the solution wasn't to just close them. Because what ends up happening is then all of those folks end up with no place to go.
Right.
Yeah.
So
good guy. Bedtime for Bonzo.
That's right.
Right.
I have seen those who have argued that all of our problems pretty much stem from him, because even Nixon, you know, Nixon was EPA. Nixon supported universal basic income, a bunch of stuff. Reagan kind of was the beginning of the stock market going nuts balls and all that kind of stuff.
Deregulation.
Yes, correct.
That good old trickle down.
Yeah. Mm.
Still waiting for it. Sitting cross-legged on the floor.
Jimmy goes around the horn. Garen sucks. Hey, Garen.
Hello.
Hello to you, Garen.
Hello.
Now, you revealed last time that you went to see the Back to the Future musical and contemplated leaving at halftime at a very theme park.
I did get corrected. They did play, I guess they played, well, they played Power of Love and Back in Time at the end. So I think they played Back in Time.
So you were already gone.
During the curtain stuff.
Right. Okay.
Doing that. I was like, we
all agree Back in Time sucks, right? That song.
Gotta get back.
I don't think I agree with that.
I think it's fine for the end of that movie. I think if you listen to it as a song by itself, I think you might think it sucks.
It's just crazy how good Power of Love is.
Yeah.
And how, to me, comparatively, that one doesn't stand up at all.
But, well, was Power of Love written for the movie, or did they just use it in the movie? And I assume Back in Time was.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
Before
I mean,
it had to. That's why.
Yeah.
Is that the Power of Love that Laura Branigan also did? It's not. I know it's not. And don't know why I felt the need to say that out loud.
You saying that is a curious thing, though.
Power of Love, it's a curious thing. Wait, hers was in the power. And then a gentleman had a hit with it, too. Ah, fuck it.
Fuck.
Now that's going to drive me nuts. Garen, please look up Laura Branigan, Power of Love.
Was it Mo Bandy?
It was not, but it might have been the aforementioned Michael Bolton.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Might have been Michael Bolton.
Get away from this.
It was Michael Bolton, wasn't it? Power of Love?
Well, Celine Dion covered it.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Is that who you're thinking of?
I believe Laura Branigan had the hit originally in the, and maybe Jennifer Rush.
I think I just
heard. It's a Jennifer Rush song.
Yeah, Jennifer Rush.
Has since been covered by Air Supply, Laura Branigan, and Celine Dion.
All right, so it was not Michael Bolton. It was Air Supply, I was thinking.
Here's the crazy part. I heard the Celine Dion version on the radio yesterday.
Is that right?
And when I say I heard it, I mean I heard it for 5 seconds and changed it.
Yeah.
But I saw the thing up there, and I was like, He was like, I'm not sure I remember this one. And I was like, I don't want to hear it.
I remember it being a hit for Jennifer Rush.
I didn't know it was a cover song.
Absolutely, Jennifer Rush.
So how does that one go? Can you hum it?
I can't sing it because you've got that other one in my head now. For the pop.
We're gonna push the limits of how many phone songs we can play in one episode.
Yeah.
God damn it. The Laura Branigan one just played on the radio the other day because they were doing the countdown.
Pull this up.
Is this Celine Dion?
Yeah.
This is a good song.
It's the first one that came up after he released.
This is a well-made song.
Yes, it is.
Try to get to the chorus. Yeah. I do remember that. I do remember the Rush version because I remember it when I was a kid.
You might remember the Branigan version.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
It's 84 for Jennifer Rush.
And then Laura Branigan would be 86, maybe? Or 85. Might be right after it.
This should have been called I'm Your Lady.
Well, no, because she breaks into a version. With the power 87. Of love. Is that off Self-Control?
Touch.
It's off Touch, which is a horrible album cover. Pull it up, Garen. Pull up Laura Branigan's album Touch. And put that on the screen.
Celine Dion's popular enough that she got the animated album cover.
Oh, did she?
Treatment. Look at that.
The fan moving.
Yeah.
Somebody's job is to go through that and find a way to make those.
Yeah.
And great. I got to be honest, I love every single one of them.
Yeah. It also spells her name out if you watch
that. I like that. Like, I don't know why that needs to happen, but I like that somebody thought.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, is that Touch?
That's
not the one I was thinking of then.
Is that a...
When the fuck single? Does she say Power of Love?
It's coming. I think maybe right now.
God damn it.
One more line.
Poor ice caps are melting.
Here it comes. To learn.
Not yet. That's the end.
Yeah, that's the end. Canadian Celine Dion, number two this week on the countdown.
Sorry, darling.
I listened to a little bit of Ryan Seacrest doing the top 40.
It's unlistenable.
It's dead. It's like lifeless.
Because he's a robot.
Yeah, it's because I remember listening to Casey Kasem, and it felt like you felt like he was there doing it.
100%.
Maybe he was. I guess he probably was.
He was not. He was okay.
This dude's in his fucking Barca lounger in his huge living room just reading into a mic or something. It's ridiculous.
I apologize. Yes, Casey would go to the studio, but he would be there for an hour.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and he's not like sitting down for 4 hours.
I don't know that I've ever heard anything more phoned in than that.
Well, that's like all like if you listen to radio in general now, it's all has the feeling of this was banged out in 40 minutes 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And there's no like, there's no immediacy or any like life to it.
Hey, speaking of radio, I apologize for interrupting you.
That's right.
Two birthdays today.
Yeah.
One from K-Rock legend Bean, his birthday today.
Yeah.
And then also now part of the Steve Dahl podcast, but originally from WLS, Doug Julin.
Happy birthday.
Both friends of the show having birthdays today.
And yesterday was Jimmy Kimmel's birthday.
Jimmy Kimmel, same as your wife.
That's right.
There's no time to
may
question.
As well.
Why not?
There's no time to think. His hummingbird energy is starting to sink. His questionable sanity stands at the brink. Jimmy requires a monster drink.
Thank you, Dr. Julian. I will take
one another one.
No, I'll take a sip of this one, Gary.
I like that little the Wayne. That's kind of what is that? Surfer guitar.
Surf rock, yeah.
Little Dwayne Eddy. Well, Garen, anything else going on this week? What's going on? Last week was Back to the Future. What's this week?
I went on a hike yesterday. Still getting over it.
Yeah, a lot of pollen.
We went to the hot springs.
It was
great.
Who went?
One day, my friend Andrew and my old roommate Jonathan, who knows how to get down there.
He gets it.
Because it's in the deserts. But it was fun. It was fun. My legs are killing me.
Oh, boy.
And I walked here today.
Is that why you seemed, when I walked in, I even said to these guys, is Garen okay today? Because in the hallway, you seemed annoyed and...
it's not been a great morning.
Okay.
There's no reason to get into it.
Sorry.
Just, you know, it's just the world's fucking burning and it's obnoxious.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Sorry,
you
Garen.
Do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You breathe.
Just know we're all dealing with
you
it.
You walk. Oh, mm-hmm. I know.
Garen, did you see the movie Heretic?
No, I haven't been able to go to the movies.
Oh.
In like the last 2 weeks. I don't even remember the last one I saw.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But that is the like number two movie on my list.
What's number one?
A Real Pain. Is
A Real Pain, yeah.
I've been waiting for that one for months and I haven't been able to go yet.
Oh, go. It's, you can go see it tomorrow if you wanted to. You can go tonight if you want to. We saw Heretic yesterday. My wife and I went to an Empty Nesters viewing.
Wait, Danielle wanted to see Heretic?
Yes, because it's not... a friend of the show, Regan Burns, said it's not scary. It's a thriller.
Oh, okay.
And
is that all true?
Yeah. And I'm going to quote Regan Burns because it's accurate. He will not be in the discussion at all, but Hugh Grant should be nominated for an Oscar.
Hmm.
He is so good in this.
Cool. Hmm.
But again, the Oscars will never consider him because of what the movie is.
It's like a genre movie.
But he is so... so good.
He's always good.
He's always good.
Yeah.
Even in shitty movies, he's great.
Yes.
This is a good movie, and he's great in it.
Cool.
And you are tense the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
It delivers. It gets a little, there's some weirdness, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. I give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Wow.
I enjoyed it.
That's like a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's like an 18 out of 20.
It's like a
95 out of 100.
Keep going.
I mean, it's 950 out of 1,000.
Go one more. 950,000 out of a million? Is that what it would be? Or would it be?
Yeah.
It'd be...
Sure.
Sure.
Sure. Whatever ends this. Name Survivor's second hit. I'm kidding. All right, Garen.
He's what never been nominated for an Oscar, Hugh Grant.
That seems unfair.
Yeah.
Never even nominated.
It's a little surprising because early in his career, he was in a lot of like well-regarded, you know,
but not,
period piece type things.
But not Oscar things, right?
Well, I mean, he had smaller parts in big like Merchant Ivory type movies or like, you know, Sense and Sensibility, which got, you know, one, at least one Oscar, one best adapted screenplay. Mm.
I mean, he's got BAFTA award nominees, which is basically the British Oscars.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they, you know, they're going to get over there.
The thing is, he became so popular with Four Weddings and a Funeral that then he just segued into just making American rom-coms, which are never going to be in the conversation.
Right,
yeah.
Even though he's phenomenal in them.
Yeah, yeah. And then, and he's done serious stuff here and there, but I guess just not the right thing at the right time. Maybe we'll get surprised and maybe he will get a...
You know where he deserved it? And I think About a Boy.
Yeah, that was really good.
He deserved it because that wasn't really rom-com.
Right.
It probably got labeled rom-com, but because it had that vibe to it. But
it's more about the relationship with him and the kid.
He was nominated for Best Actor at a musical comedy for the Golden Globes for About a Boy and Notting Hill, Florence Foster Jenkins, and he won for Four Weddings and a Funeral. But somebody probably paid for those.
Yeah, but I mean, Garen, you were nominated for a Golden Globe. They don't mean anything.
If I ever was,
I know.
It would be on my forehead. Golden Globe nominee.
Yes, I agree. It would, those don't mean anything. Guess what? I won one.
It means I was in a movie or worked on it.
It is now the hood ornament of my car, and I'm driving around letting everybody know I got a Golden Globe.
It would be in my back pocket. It would be uncomfortable, but it would be with me everywhere I go.
Oh, that's interesting. Clunk. You plop it out.
There's got to be some Rolls Royce owner who has swapped out their...
I hope so.
For like a Grammy or an... Or, you know, the best one would be the Emmy because it's like that already looks like kind of like exactly. A Rolls Royce thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Garen.
It's the letter game.
Hey.
Letter game.
Hey. That's my echo vocal.
Start with a letter.
Start with a name. It's the never not funny. Garen sucks. Garen, you're matching me today. A drama that begins with the letter L.
L.A. Confidential.
L.A. Confidential, says Garen Cochran.
That's a nice pick. One that didn't occur to me.
That may be one of my wife's favorite movies.
It's a good movie.
It's terrific.
It's a good
it's
movie.
Really good.
I liked it a lot. I think if I rewatched it, it would bump up. I feel it's
a lot
one of those.
Actors you like are in there, too, I think.
When did that come out? 92? Am I close?
No.
You.
It was like, got to be...
97, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm going to amend that. I meant I was living... I'm amending that. I want to say 97 because I was living here and I was a drunk.
It was
and I think I went through a little phase where like the movie... I was not... Movies were not doing anything for me.
I think it was 97. I think it was the same year as Titanic, right? Or maybe 98. Like
1997.
97. Yeah, I was living here 2 years. So that...
That was one of those things like... I feel like my entire early adulthood watched being obsessed with movies, seeing everything... Every year, there would be one movie that I was like, that's the best. And then a different thing would win Best Picture, and I'd be angry for no reason. I mean, there was a reason, but it wasn't legitimate. And I think that was the year that I was like, L.A. Confidential was much better than Titanic. What the fuck? And I still feel that way, but I also understand you've got to give it to Titanic.
You have to.
In the same way that I very much was upset with Forrest Gump winning in 94, because that was the same year as Shawshank Redemption, Pulp Fiction, Quiz Show, and what was the fifth one? I mean, Quiz Show, obviously, you put take that off the table. But
I don't think you do. I don't think you do.
I mean, it's still good. I still
of
think
those movies,
I
it's my favorite.
I still think it's better than Forrest Gump. But I think, to me, the cultural impact of Pulp Fiction is kind of like that ends the conversation as far as I'm concerned. So, like,
what's the fifth movie?
I'm going to try to think of it. Was it Babe?
Pig in the City?
And that couldn't have been nominated for Best Picture.
This is what year? 94?
94,
yeah. Let me find it.
No, Babe was maybe the following year. What was it? It was another really good movie. And I feel like whenever I see that list, I'm always like, yeah, Forrest Gump was the fifth best movie.
Of that list. I agree.
For me, I agree
with that.
But I didn't like Forrest Gump, so that doesn't mean much coming from a guy who didn't like it. But I definitely feel like Shawshank not being commercially successful was a big knock against it, but it has stood the test of time, and now everybody saw it. Everyone's seen it on video or on cable or wherever they saw it, and everybody who sees it agrees it's fucking amazing. It's a great movie. It's kind of a perfect movie, and
I think it's on people's top 10 movies of all time lists.
Yeah, it should be. It's fucking great.
Whereas so, Forrest Gump is not on anybody's.
Four Weddings and a Funeral, believe it or not.
Yes, which I also
which is also better than Forrest Gump.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
But I know a lot of people that like Forrest Gump. I liked it fine.
I also liked it fine.
I liked it fine.
I mean, out of those movies, they're all known, but the only ones that remain in the conversation are probably Pulp Fiction and Shawshank.
Yeah.
Those ones people still...
I mean, people still remember Forrest Gump.
No, I know, but they don't
remember it fondly necessarily.
There's not a lot of people saying, "Oh yeah, Forrest Gump's my favorite movie of all time." Shawshank, it doesn't. Yes, you can hear that a daily. Someone's like, "That's my favorite movie."
Their reputation of it only grew.
Yes.
From that point forward.
I would say out of that batch, Quiz Show is my favorite of those movies.
It's good.
It's good. It's
Babe was the following year.
What's that?
Yeah, Babe was 95.
The next year. That'll do, Karen. Garen, who was up against Tom Hanks in 94 for best actor?
It was
because he won, right, for Forrest Gump? Because he won 2 years in a row, Philadelphia
the year before, yeah.
Which was, again, that's in my top five favorite movies of all time. And his performance is phenomenal, as was Denzel's.
Yep.
Phenomenal.
Morgan Freeman.
Okay.
Nigel Hawthorne.
I don't know who that is.
Madness of King George.
Yeah.
No.
So wait, for Morgan Freeman for Shawshank?
For Shawshank, okay. Yeah.
So Paul, he was nominated for Best Actor, not Best Supporting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul Newman for what?
Oh, Nobody's Fool, which is another great movie, not even on that list, but also better than Forrest Gump.
And any guesses on the last one?
Robin Williams.
Is it from one of the movies that has already been mentioned?
It is.
Is it Totoro?
Is it Ralph Fiennes from Quiz Show?
No. Nobody from Quiz Show.
Travolta?
John Travolta.
Oh,
John
right. Travolta. Of course. Oh, yeah.
I would, of that batch... I recognize what I feel the same way about this sounds what I'm about to say is going to sound fucking horrible. I feel the same way about Dustin Hoffman winning for Rain Man as I do for Tom Hanks winning for Pulp Fiction. Like how
Forrest Gump
for Forrest Gump. Thank you. They kind of were Oscar winning performances. And by that, I mean the committee is going to vote for them because of the characters they portrayed.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, in my opinion, is better in Rain Man than Dustin Hoffman is. And I believe out of that list of people, Paul Newman is better than Tom Hanks. Morgan Freeman is better than Tom Hanks.
For sure.
John Travolta is better than Tom Hanks.
Yes.
That said, Tom Hanks is one of my favorite actors of all time.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, this is what happened with Titanic. It's what happened with Forrest Gump. Did it happen with Avatar too? I can't remember. But sometimes in a movie is like, it just has this huge, like it's a huge hit. And nobody thought it would be or should be, or like everyone was expecting it to be a disaster. And then it somehow was like, no, it's actually the biggest box office success of all time. And it's in the category of Oscar-ish type thing. Then people trip over the Academy trips over themselves to award it with things like, because Forrest Gump on paper should have bombed and it should have been an embarrassment to everyone involved on some level because it's such a fucking weird idea. And like it could have gone so wrong. And so in some ways they're awarding it for being the biggest hit of the year in the face of what the fuck were you thinking even making this movie? Like, and I kind of, on a weird level, even though I don't like the movie, I kind of agree with that notion that's like, you pulled it off, so here's your trophy. Like, good job. We didn't think it was going to work.
Somebody could argue Pulp Fiction would never have worked, and that was...
But it wasn't as high risk of a thing. It was like an indie movie that had a certain budget, and it was like, if it didn't work, people would just ignore it. But
true.
With Tom Hanks coming off of winning an Oscar for Philadelphia, and Zemeckis being a huge A-list director, they spent a lot of money, it's got a lot of effects in it, and it's like a three-hour... character study about a guy who just meets a bunch of presidents, kind of like, what even is it? It's fucking weird. And so it's kind of like, well, you managed. It's kind of like the presidential election. It's like, you got this many people to get on board with whatever this was, so congratulations, you've won America.
Let me ask you this, because my heart is broken. Do they say Jennifer at all in the movie? Jennifer?
Jimmy, like abort.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Ellie. Yeah. Yes, I was calling that back. All right, so you went with L.A. Confidential.
I like that,
yes,
guess.
Sir.
All right, let's check in with, I think we gave you a new nickname.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what you said.
It was Indo.
I didn't know what...
Short for Indonesia, because you bring up Indonesia quite often. And bitter daddy's never going to happen.
And you also smoke a lot of Indo.
I don't know what that means.
Isn't that kind of weed?
I mean, there's Indica.
Indica?
Yeah, but in rap songs, they refer to
Indica. Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
All right.
So maybe that's Indica. I don't know.
All right. What's going on with you and Irma? Anything exciting going on over there?
I mean, not so much this week. We had some burritos that we made, which was fun.
So no.
But I finally set up my 3D printer.
Oh, look at that little guy.
Yeah. Look at that little boat.
This is called a Benchy. It's a way to test your printer to make sure it's working. The first one I did was a little bit stringy, so I changed some settings. And the second one, this is the second one.
That's cool.
And it came up pretty nice.
Look at that guy.
Yeah. So now I can... I tried to print some other things. I have more adjustments to make, because as I started trying to build bigger things, some of the plastic wouldn't stick to the plate. And so I ended up with a lot of...
What's the biggest thing you can make size wise? Like, give me it's foot by a foot
bread basket.
It's a little under. It's more like, I think, 10 inches by 10 inches, maybe.
And of course, I meant bread box when I said bread basket. Bread basket is what you punch someone in the 1940s.
Yeah,
you go, I'm gonna get you in the bread basket.
Or as when Jimmy Dore and I went looking for suits, the guy goes, "Oh yeah, that fits you real nice across the bread basket there." And Jimmy Dore and I was like, "We must buy suits from this guy."
That's amazing.
Because he said,
"What is the bread basket?
Your abs.
Your abs."
So then why?
I guess because it looks like a loaf of bread, maybe?
Oh.
Are you guys going to watch the fight tomorrow night?
Huh?
Mike Tyson.
Logan Mike Paul. Tyson and Jake Paul?
I'd rather throw myself off a building.
Oh, I'm there front and center.
I'd rather throw you off a building.
I want to see that kid get his head knocked off.
Well, I don't disagree with that. But they're both awful human beings.
That's true. They are.
Also, Mike Tyson's old.
Do you pay money for that?
Yeah. No, it's on Netflix.
Oh, wait. So it's not a pay-per-view on Netflix.
The premier fight location Netflix.
Yeah.
So live. I have Netflix. I can watch it.
You can watch it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
If you got 30 seconds to watch Jake Paul get his cranium caved in, go
ahead. How old is the champ now? 40?
57?
57.
He's still probably be okay. I mean, Jake Paul has... This isn't his first fight, though, right?
No, he's been
He's actually been a... not that I'm a boxing... I've heard or read or seen that he's good... But
that's the problem. I don't think it's going to be what I originally wanted it to be, which is
just one punch and he's out.
A stupid influencer getting his
You want it to be like a Nintendo getting Mike Tyson, where he just knocks his head
uppercut.
Off.
Uppercut.
I want it to be Jason Takes Manhattan, and he just gets an uppercut, and his head just goes right off.
Yep.
What I'm hoping for.
That being said, Mike Tyson is a trained boxer for decades. Mm-hmm. Logan Paul is what, maybe a decade?
It's Jake Paul.
Jake Paul, sorry. You know what? Does it matter?
No.
Well, Logan is a wrestler.
They both should be. Logan wrestles.
They should both be punched.
Yes.
He's actually a really good wrestler, that I can confirm.
And a really good guy.
He's a piece of shit. But he knows he is.
I don't give a fuck.
And he plays that in his
I don't care if you know you're an asshole.
Or whatever. I don't know.
I just want to know, is Jake Paul going to do the thing from Mike Tyson's Punch Out that Glass Joe does, where he goes, cling, 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 cling. That was his signal that you could punch him in the face. There you go. You know that game, like each guy you fight has like a tell, basically, that like, this is when you punch him. And he would just go like, ding, ding, ding. He was the first guy you fought, so he was terrible. Yeah. And he kind of looks like Jake Paul, now that I think about it.
Body blow.
Cool.
What time's it on, Garen?
I think they go on at 10 Eastern.
All right.
So 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Like, of course.
On a Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Google AI overview. Jake Paul's boxing record is 10-1 with 7 knockouts, and some say he's a good boxer.
Some.
Even,
I mean,
even ChatGPT is a little hesitant.
Well, because I can't give him who did he fight? Boxer. Is I think exactly. The question you have to ask.
All right. So what's the biggest thing you? So that's you got that.
Yeah. So I like. Let's say an 8-inch cube. I think I feel comfortable saying
an
I could probably do that.
Inch cube.
It's 220 millimeters by 220 and then 230 tall, whatever that works out to be.
Stop listening. Let me ask you a question. There's always concerns that you can make a gun with this. Is that something you can make?
I mean, I've watched videos about how that works.
Yeah.
Usually those kind of guns you can use once and then...
That's all I need it for.
That's fair.
It's like that. Do you remember in The Line of Fire, the Clint Eastwood, and it's John Malkovich is an assassin.
Yes.
He's trying to kill the president.
I do.
That's a good movie too, actually. Although I'm not sure it holds up. But
is that the one where Malkovich is a little over the top?
Yeah, this guy's kind of crazy, unpredictable, and you're not really sure where he's coming from.
He doesn't act like a human being.
He makes a gun out of like resin or something.
Yeah, that seems possible.
And then. It just needs, like, he needs to take the spring out of a pen and put it into this thing, and it can fire two shots.
Right.
And that's his way of getting through security to get into this event where the president's going to be.
And again, that's all you need it for.
That's essentially the thing with the 3D printed guns, is that you have to put some kind of a metal bit into it.
Right.
Not necessarily a pen spring, but like something like that.
Something else.
Just to give it that one thing so that it will actually function.
Yeah.
I have not explored downloading those things, but I do think that maybe there's a way that some of the printers will prevent you from using particular files.
I mean, that makes sense.
But if I design it myself, they couldn't do anything.
What if I sent you some designs?
Have you designed them yourself?
Yes.
Well, then I probably could.
I like the idea that like the police are banging at your door and you're like, oh shit. And you start like typing, like pulling down the schematics. We're going to print it out. And you're just like waiting for it. Like
for
1 minute.
For 2 days.
Coming.
Although this little guy, this little benchy.
Yeah. A little tugboat.
Yeah. Took 50 minutes.
50
minutes.
Jesus. That seems like a long time for that.
Well, it takes a while. It's plastic. It's got to melt and it goes back and forth.
But when I go to the zoo and I want that gorilla, they make that thing. I put my quarter in. I'm walking away with my hot gorilla in a minute.
That's hot injection molding. That's a different technique, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's not 3D printing. I watch a YouTube channel. This guy who he's tried to make like slides, like flip flop type shoes.
Oh yes,
with
okay.
a 3D printer.
Yeah,
it's fascinating. It's like it takes like 19 hours to print one shoe.
Yeah,
it's a long time,
and it fucking sucks. Like he made a flip flop, and he made an actual shoe that your foot goes into.
Yeah,
and he was like, I'm gonna wear this to this convention. And like you could tell, he was just like miserable. He's like, this hurts. Like they're cutting into his ankle. Like it's horrible.
Well, I mean, making shoes is not an easy thing. But the other thing is, if you do it just on a regular 3D printer, you've got one material you're going to make it out of.
Right. You don't have the multiple.
Yeah.
Like the inside's not going to be different than the outside.
Although today, if you wanted to, for less than a used car, you can get 3D printers that can have multiple materials.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's super cool. And then like there's a kind of 3D printing material where it's water soluble. So one of the things that when you make these kind of things, let's say you have something that's kind of like cantilevered out, it's like hanging out over here, you have to have support material in order to be able to print it because the thing has to go. So
and then you break that off.
Yeah. Well, if you can have multiple different kind of spools of plastic, you can get this water soluble stuff.
Oh, and then you just put it in water and that dissolves away.
Right.
That's cool.
So I'm
going to interrupt with some breaking news that won't last long, so it needs to be said at the moment.
Yeah.
My tinnitus is gone.
Hey.
It'll come back in a minute.
What the?
But at this very moment, I have no tinnitus for the first time since I had my tinnitus situation.
Should I put Mo Bandy back on?
Yeah, put a little
Let's enjoy this moment.
That's craziness.
Let's have a moment of silence.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, there's none.
Nice.
That is insane.
It won't last long.
Right.
But this is the first time I've noticed where it's been missing.
That's crazy.
Great. I think I have to do this.
Breaking news with Jimmy is probably not.
Yeah, and well, it's back.
Ever so slightly, but not like.
Wow.
That's good for you.
If it was like, if it's like this the rest of my life, that's a win. Yeah, it won't be.
Right.
Yeah. But even if you can have some days. That'll be good.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. It was I was excited. I wanted to talk about it while it was happening instead of, hey, a minute ago, blah, blah, blah. A minute ago, here's an uninteresting thing.
Elliot and I talking about 3D printers is basically like a high-pitched whiny.
It is not helpful. So in fact, maybe the TARDIS was there. It just being overridden.
Canceling it.
All right, what's your guess?
So I had
Indo.
I had a guess, but then we had some pre-show hint that this was more of a classic movie rather than maybe the thing that I would think that Jimmy would pick. Yeah.
Did I say that?
No. I don't remember him saying that.
All I said was these are all definitely dramas.
Yeah.
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah.
You did say that, but
when you walked in, Elliot and I were talking about whether an animated movie like The Land Before Time is a drama, because it's not a comedy, but I don't know that you would think of it as being in this thing, but we all agreed it is.
You're welcome to guess it.
A drama. I just think we all know Jimmy's never going to say that.
In any case, I recall you saying things that suggested that the thing much like every other time when we pick movies, the thing that you should pick, you're not going to.
Well, he did say there's a big one. I remember that.
So I'm going with Lawrence of Arabia.
That's a big one.
Lawrence of Arabia. That's a big one and a classic.
Yes.
Safe to say?
Yes.
I mean, if you get mentioned in We Didn't Start the Fire, you're big. That is a qualifying. You should get a medal.
Yeah.
Did the Cola Wars get mentioned in that?
Along with rock and roll.
Okay, so that's big.
Yeah.
And doesn't that star Lawrence of Olivier? Isn't that
Lawrence of Olivier?
That's fun to say out loud, right? I know it's not. Go ahead. Matt Belknap.
Yeah, I'm torn now.
Torn between two movies, feeling like a fool.
This might be kind of cheesy, but Garen's guess made me think of a different thing that I think is better than everything I wrote down. And I wrote down like 8 or 9 movies. But I don't think either that or the one I was going to say is going to be it, so I might as well just stick with what I originally thought, which is Lady Bird.
Lady Bird.
Wow.
A great movie that I like a lot.
Okay.
It's my daughter's favorite movie.
Is that true?
Well, it's one of them.
Seems high.
She loves it.
I think she's the perfect age to like that.
Maybe
movie.
It's not her favorite anymore. I just know.
What do you think overtook it? Sinatra is back.
She likes Little Women a lot.
The most recent one, the Bob Odenkirk version?
Yes, the Bob Odenkirk Little Women.
That movie, other than Odenkirk's Mutton Chops, is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great.
Believe it or not, that move, the one with Winona Ryder, she was nominated at those same Oscars for Little Women.
Wow. Do you know who should never be nominated for acting? Winona Ryder. She's not good. Says me with my 3 lines on Monk. But I talk about pop culture.
Yep.
So I say that. I could certainly be wrong. But in my household, you're going to get 3 agreements on that. What are you doing?
I just want to mention that, like, I was having a hard time with L. Not thinking of them, but thinking of any L movie that any other person would ever think of.
Yeah. Yes.
Some of the things I thought of
Could you not do that?
Oh, okay.
I'd like, let them do the fans. Okay. And if one of them pops
that's
up,
good call.
Then
they won't. They won't. I promise.
And then reveal your backup.
I mean, there's at least one of them that I think could fall into your category.
All right, well, now you have to read the fans, so let's put your nickname change on hold.
You don't win
money. Speaking of our friend Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
Not a friend.
I'd like to be a friend.
He's welcome.
Seems like a nice guy.
Sometimes.
I know he's got some hearing issues. You can match for bragging
rights. What do fans think? Garen does, in fact, suck.
By the way, Indo is a slang reference to indoor grown marijuana.
Oh, it's just indoor. So,
what
stands for.
Look at that. Indo or endo.
That makes sense.
It's
endo, yeah.
Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
Possibly coined it.
I feel bad for Snoop Dogg. He's not present enough. We don't see him. I hope he's doing okay financially, because I haven't seen him doing anything lately.
It's sad what's happened to his career. Like, he just can't get can't catch a break.
I can't turn my television on without seeing a T-Mobile ad with him or an ad for The Voice.
Yeah, don't play crazy. Fortnite. He is a major character in Fortnite.
Is that true?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Boy, I haven't played that in a while.
That's hilarious. So,
he had a concert in the middle of Times Square with them.
Good for him.
Wild.
Yeah. Well, he deserves it. He's going through a tough time from what I just heard. Go right ahead. Ellie, give us the fans, please.
Sure. Number 10.
Trying to match Jimmy Pardo, the drama movie L.
Sure. Leviathan.
Leviathan.
Oh, yeah. I remember that movie.
Sci-fi horror movie?
It's definitely sci-fi. Yeah,
I feel that's true, too. So then,
I don't think I know what it is.
It's a movie about a deep sea creature, a monster from the deep.
There were two that, like, that same time frame.
Deep Space Nine. No.
Deep Sea Six. Deep Star Six or Deep Sea Six? One of the two.
What was it called? You think it was SEAL Team Six?
It was one of those Armageddon Deep Impact moments where two of the same thing came out at the same time.
Deep Star Six.
Deep Star
Six. I'm sure I saw both of them. Who is it? Sean Connery?
Sean Cunningham directed it. He directed Friday the 13th. Greg Evigan is the only name I recognize. Miguel Ferrer, Nia Peoples, Matt
Miguel Ferrer.
Ferrer.
Yeah.
Who does not look anything like you think he does.
He doesn't.
Who's in Leviathan?
Leviathan
was the hit of the two.
It was much more successful, I believe. I mean, it's the one I remember.
It was... hold on, sorry.
What was the bigger one of Armageddon would be bigger than Deep Impact?
I think they both did well, but I think Armageddon was bigger, yeah.
Peter Weller is in Leviathan.
Oh, okay.
Richard Crenna, Daniel Stern, Ernie Hudson.
Oh, there you go.
This is obviously the A-list at the time one. And Hector Elizondo also.
No, oh, wow.
Great actor.
Yeah.
Great actor. They're all great actors. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Number nine, I think.
Number nine, Le Intouchable.
Okay.
I will give you number 12, L.A. Confidential, and number 11, Logan Lucky, if that helps you at all.
Wait, L.A. Confidential does not make the top 10?
Correct.
But the fans? It was Garen's choice.
That's foolish.
I will say Logan Lucky is one of the ones I wrote down that I thought no one would ever say this.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
That was one of the ones.
Sorry, Ellie. Is that Daniel Craig?
Logan Lucky. I never saw it.
I think that's accurate.
Never heard of it. So
it's a movie with Daniel Craig.
Steven Soderbergh.
4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, that's exactly.
Next up, Looking for Mr. Goodbar.
Oh, the classic.
Yeah. Then Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die. Bow,
bow, bow. Was that a Roger Moore?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the one where he goes to like the Caribbean. That's like
It's
like a voodoo tribe. It's very racist.
Exactly. I was going to say.
It kind of starts out as like a blaxploitation film. It's almost like, what if James Bond were dropped into a blaxploitation film? It's very strange.
Wow.
Yeah.
I assume that they didn't mean Life is Butte, but they meant Life is Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's with that guy.
Yeah.
Roberto Benigni.
The one who doesn't respect chairs.
Oh, you literally took that out of my mouth as I was speaking it.
Swatted.
You got to speak up, Garen.
Doesn't respect chairs is what I was going to say, and you literally stole it.
I would love to watch that again because I remember thinking, God, this is great, but I can't.
Life is Beautiful?
Yeah.
I think it's insufferable.
I love it.
At the time,
yeah.
I think if you watch it now, you'd find it insufferable.
I wonder.
Or you'd love it.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Elliot.
Leon, the Professional.
Oh, that was a good movie.
That's the French title.
The French version, yeah.
Here we called it The Professional.
Yeah. Last of the Mohicans.
Whose film debut was The Professional?
Anna Paquin?
Close.
Give me the initials.
N.P.
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, there you go.
By the way, I don't know that it was her debut. Yeah. It was an early movie.
It was early. I do recall that.
Certainly her breakout role,
yes.
I would imagine. My answer, Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia starring Lawrence of Olivier. Two times in one joke.
Hey, double it.
I've been doing that joke since I was a child.
All right. This is the one that
joke?
I did.
It is Natalie Portman's debut.
It was her debut.
Yes.
And what's the fellow's name?
Jean Reno.
And that's Luc Besson's first English language movie, I believe. He'd made La Femme Nikita before that, I think.
Oh, which is another L.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where's the Frenchies on that one? I know someone's playing a game with their Frenchie
title. Horseshit one.
I don't know.
Go on.
This is the one that I was going to pick, but decided not to based on pre-show chatter.
Okay.
Less than Zero.
No, that's a good one for Jimmy Pardo.
I'm going to tell you this.
Yes, sir.
I didn't think of it.
Yeah.
This is a Target situation.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
I think that movie blows, mm-hmm. but I love it.
But also,
it's such a Jimmy Pardo.
It really
movie.
Is.
Mm-hmm. Comes
it
up all
really
the time.
Is.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't think of it.
All right. And I'm very glad I didn't pick it. And number one from the fans.
Yes.
Love, Actually.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big one.
That is the exact same situation for me as that other one was for you. That is shocking that didn't come to my mind.
Yeah. If I had thought of the word love, there's like probably 100 movies you could think of.
What were the other ones, Matt, that you said that nobody would ever think of?
Lucky Number 11.
Oh, that's another one I thought of.
Obviously. Oh, really? You did?
I did.
The Lincoln Lawyer.
I had that one.
You did?
That's my friend Matt McConaughey.
And then Longest Goodnight is a movie.
Oh, that's
I
a
love.
Good one.
And which that's movie? A good follow-up for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, both Shane Black scripts, I believe. Lincoln. Just plain old Lincoln.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
And then we were talking before the show about whether pornos would count in this round of the game. And you said they would.
Well,
and
they don't make you laugh.
Right. So we started talking about how there's some movies that are sort of almost porn, but they're legitimate films. Mm. And that made me think of Last Tango in Paris.
Oh, all right.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Yeah. Kind of a pseudo porn.
I'm going to throw a few out. Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Lolita.
Lost Boys is a horror movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a vampire movie.
It's a vampire movie.
I don't know.
Okay. No, there's no N. It's about vampires.
All right. But it's from the vampires. Anyway, whatever. Lolita.
It doesn't fucking matter. It's from the vampire's point of view.
It's not horror, but it is fantasy. Will you accept that?
Yeah, it's definitely fantasy.
Because I don't consider that a horror movie, but I consider
The Lost Boys.
Yes, it's not scary.
It's not scary.
But it is about vampires.
It's a fantasy movie. It's about
vampires. Life is just a fantasy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. What if the Lost Boys discourse is what ends
every I'll fight anyone who says that's a fucking horror movie. I have a line and you cannot cross it.
I'll say this. It's not a good movie.
I mean, it was fine for me with the age I was.
I loved it when it came out.
Yeah. It's fun.
But
that's one that I did rewatch.
It's almost a comedy.
In my 20s and like enjoyed just on a schlocky level. It's a perfect Joel Schumacher schlock fest.
Yes. Yeah.
It's got all the like gratuitous homoerotic subtext that you could want. You got randomly, kid's got a poster of Rob Lowe on his door.
Yes, he does.
No commentary.
And as a reminder, Hair by Dino Gonziano.
That's right.
I also have Lolita.
Yeah.
The Lake House.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what about The Lighthouse? I know you love that movie.
When I thought he had the con, I was like, I've got the perfect answer. It's The Lighthouse.
Last Boy Scout.
Oh, poor Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Man, Shane Black loves L titles.
He really does.
All right, here we go.
Lethal Weapon.
I thought it was weird.
Fuck, every movie he wrote starts with an L. Oh, no, except Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is a K.
Le Predator was
Le Predator.
I don't know why it was French, but...
Yeah.
All right, number five.
Yeah, here we go.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Ooh, oh, that was also... I also had a good one.
Nicolas Cage, Elizabeth Shue.
Yep.
Elizabeth Shue gave Nicolas Cage a standing ovation when he received that award. Nobody else stood up. It was very uncomfortable. Because the woman, whoever the woman was that won Best Actress, got a standing ovation that year.
And she thought, we're doing this.
And she thought, we're doing it. And Nicolas Cage was great in
he
that
He was
movie.
Great in it.
But when I say nobody else, I think only 10 people.
It was not a rousing.
It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For me at my home doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Last Picture Show.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
haven't
good
seen it, but I'm familiar with the
number
title.
Two, Bogdanovich. Last of the Mohicans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were in on a last kick.
And number one, and I'll tell you this. Refresh my memory. Garen, you said?
L.A. Confidential.
You said?
Lawrence of Arabia.
And you said?
Lady Bird.
We have a winner.
Oh, boy.
L.A. Confidential.
Hey!
Yeah, that, once I heard that, I was like, that's a good one. So anyway, I forgot to say, when he said that, I was like, ooh, should I switch to L.A. Story? Because that's also a good one.
Yeah, I think that's a comedy.
Oh, it's comedy.
Arguably a comedy.
Okay. Yeah. That's why I didn't do it, guys.
Arguably.
Yeah, it's rye.
Hit it. Garen has the con for M.
That's right.
Does he get 10 or 5?
Five.
I only had to count for 1 week.
Yes.
By the way, the best actress category for that year is stacked.
Shut it down, Elliot. Shut down the tune.
Let's see if we can name even one other one. I'm trying to think. So wait, what were we talking about again?
Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas. Okay,
what year would that be, please?
That's like 97, 96?
95.
95, okay.
95, best actress.
Okay, so...
I don't know.
Again,
you guys have memory better than I do on this stuff. If you give me the
That's the same year. So it's Emma Thompson for Sense and Sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
She was in there. And is great. That's one of my faves.
Is there a Meryl Streep sighting here?
There is a Meryl Streep sighting.
Oh, wow. Okay, so what movie would that have been in 95? Oh, Bridges of Madison County?
Yep.
Okay.
I've not seen that.
It's bad. It's not good.
You don't like it?
It's not good. It's
boring.
Cheesy movie based on a cheesy book. I think that's...
Yeah. Apparently the musical, the songs are great, but the story is a bore.
I've heard the same. Okay.
So aside from Elizabeth Shue, you have two more.
Oh, Elizabeth Shue is also nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah, she won.
That's why she stood up.
She did not win.
Oh, wait. No,
yeah,
she did Emma... Oh, okay. You're right. I'm sorry. I was thinking because we were talking about her standing up, I was thinking she won. No, so was it Emma Thompson that won?
It was not.
She won Best Screenplay that year for writing Sense and Sensibility.
Oh.
But so we have not named the winner yet.
There's two more.
There are two more. You have not named the winner.
We have not named the winner for the 1990. Oh, was it Susan Sarandon for Dead Man Walking?
It was Susan Sarandon.
Dead Man Walking. Yep. Mm-hmm. Great movie.
And she won?
She won.
Yeah. And that was correct. I mean, those are all good performances. But I thought she was great.
You know what? She's always great.
Yeah, yeah.
Where was she during this whole election? I did not see a single thing from her.
Maybe she finally decided, I cannot.
Unlike Jill Stein, she knew how to stay away from something.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question, though. Maybe she was.
She said her piece last time.
Maybe she was talking and just, people weren't covering it, but that's hard to believe, too. There's one left.
There's one left.
One left. For a drama? Mm-hmm. And is it a like a movie star like that is still working, one of the big ones?
Yes.
You're saying this category was stacked. This is part of the stack?
She is part of the stack. I don't know.
Was she young at the time?
She might not be generally considered the greatest actress.
Huh. Winona Ryder.
It's not Winona Ryder. She was the year before. I'm a fan of hers, and it's a dream to write a movie for her that... A sequel to a movie she was in.
It's a dream of yours.
Of mine, yes.
Not just a
Is
general.
Is it Sigourney Weaver?
Not a general
dream. It's not Sigourney Weaver.
That's a good guess,
no.
Though.
I'm just basing on what he said.
It is a sequel to a Western. I will give you that.
A Western.
Mm-hmm. She in Young Guns too?
No.
So wait, the sequel you want to write is a Western, but not the movie she was nominated for?
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the sequel that I want to write is a Western.
I feel like you've mentioned
Future 3?
No. Well, that's already the thing.
It's already a Western. Yeah, darn it.
Wait, you want to write a Western, but the original was not a Western?
The original was a Western.
And yeah. You want to write another Western. Write,
that's so a Western with a prominent female actor.
So this is a Western from the 90s?
Mm-hmm. Untouchable? Unforgiven.
Yeah, there weren't that many.
I said Untouchable.
Is there a single woman in Unforgiven?
I don't recall the one.
I don't recall.
Might have been one.
I don't know who's in these.
Quick
fucking...
and the Dead?
Yes.
Oh.
Sharon Stone.
Oh. Casino, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, she's very good in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like her.
Okay.
I don't know if that's in dispute, but...
A lot of people on the internet were saying you don't like Sharon Stone, so I'm glad you finally come out.
I'm setting the record straight.
Thank you, guys.
I enjoy
Derek
Sharon
Huckle
Stone.
Breaks his silence on Sharon Stone.
All right. I have folded this $5 bill into a... triangle shape, and we'll see how that.
All right, Ellie,
literally see how it flies.
Ellie, what we do is we count to five by fives.
Okay.
So what that means is 5, 10, 15, 20, but stop at 5.
So what?
I'm going to say and then just say 5. Okay, that's it.
All right.
All right, here we go. And 5.
5.
Hey, he caught it.
That sailed.
Well done.
That did sail. The triangle worked.
I think that's
floated right into the glove.
So I'll just remember to never do that again.
Somebody probably says on a baseball game.
What do they say?
Floated right in the glove.
No one's ever said that.
Right in the glove.
It's the floating that didn't sound right.
Yeah.
That's what they say, I'm telling you. Get Jason Benetti on the line. See if he's ever said
See if he likes that.
See if he's ever
He might like it. Have it.
You could pitch it to him next time he's here.
Here you go.
Pitch intended. Hey. Hey, why is Siri getting involved?
Siri.
Turn off.
Siri, go away.
I just learned something the other day that apparently with, I won't say it because I want to ruin anybody's day, but the Amazon friend, you can rename it, apparently, and give it and have it other keywords. Apple's used to do that, but I don't think, before it was Siri, you already said.
S-I-R-I.
Whatever the thing was before when you used to be able to, like if you're doing speech to text before they had that system.
I don't remember there being a name for it.
You could use any word you wanted.
Oh.
To initiate it.
Got it.
But I don't think you could do that now with the Apple one.
I don't know.
I hear some noise in the hallway. Guarantee if it's our guest.
What if it was?
I made it over.
He's been out there for an hour.
For an hour and a half. I didn't know how to knock. All right. Well, I don't know what you just talked about, Elliot. I got rattled by hearing some shrieking in the hallway.
Oh, goodness. Dear.
All right. We're done.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you, Garen. You've got the con for M. A lot of good L's. I had the con for exactly 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm back in play.
That's how you want it.
I go last.
You won the money, you got in, you got out.
And then I win more money.
You got back in. Now you're back in the game. Guaranteed.
It's like the mob.
Yep. Every time you're out,
they get you back in. Hey, thanks to Dane Coffee for providing the money for the Dane Coffee can for the movie game. We thank Jeremy Herbal for the money for the trivia tin. And we thank all of you for listening and subscribing. It certainly doesn't mean the world to us that you care enough about this program to, listen to it twice, sometimes three times a week with video and so on and so forth. And we appreciate whatever level you subscribe at. We certainly do appreciate it. So that's it. We're done. On behalf of the I want to say this. I forgot to mention this. I've been meaning to mention this on the show. You've been mentioning it in the plugs. But I have my my yearly, I say Christmas show, but it happens in December on Zoom via Flappers. So go to flappers.com, flapperscomedy.com. Yeah. and you can get your ticket to the, it's basically a hangout. You know, I just, if you've not been part of it before, it's people on Zoom, and I look at your little thing, and I use the Bozo arrows, and I try to find, and I stop somewhere, and I chit-chat with you. And
so it then, sounds like you can maybe request a bit or be a part of some crowd work.
That's exactly right. Is that what you're saying?
I say that every week.
Yeah, you can request a bit or be part of some crowd work. But it's kind of, it's a hangout. It's not a show in the sense of when, during the pandemic, people like Jackie Cation would stand up in front of a shower curtain and do stand-up. It is not that at all.
Right.
It is basically a hangout, and again, some just some light ball busting from your hero, and then you request a bit or you don't, and it's just fun. And
you might go, I love everyone. You're fat.
I do not do that. It is.
But
not,
if you have crazy hair,
it's no longer. But if you have crazy hair, yeah, it certainly will happen.
What don't you have? A brush or mirror?
Classics. Scissors or a mirror? That's the classic with. Let me ask you a question. What don't you have? Scissors or a mirror? That may be. That's in my top five favorite things I've ever said in my entire life.
I could be wrong, but I feel like I was there when you first said
at UCB.
That. Yeah.
I said it there, and then I said it on the Conan Ryder special for TBS. I said it about Reggie Watts. Reggie, just out of curiosity, what don't you have? Scissors or a mirror? The audience, I would say 80% laughed like crazy, and 20% went, oh. And then I went, what happened?
Yeah.
I had to pretend like... I didn't understand why they were offended. Mm. By the way, to this day, I don't understand why they were offended.
Reggie liked it.
Reggie loved it because he's got fucking crazy hair and he knows it.
Yes.
But the crowd was protective of him. They were like, no, we must protect him at all costs.
Right? He's the famous guy who does his hair in a crazy way so that people talk about it.
He's very sensitive about it. The thing he chose to do.
He truly doesn't know. Ridiculous. Anyway, join me over there for the Flapper Show. It's a lot of fun. That's happening, I want to say, on December 6th? 5.
6.
No, 6 is live flappers.
No, 7 is live flappers.
6 is...
You are 100% right. Yeah. Wait a minute. What?
Unless,
yes.
Unless we've been doing it wrong time.
Then we've been doing it wrong.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. There's still enough time to fix this.
Stop the press.
December 6 is the Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Zoom.
Yes.
December 7 is live flappers.
In person. In the Yoohoo room.
Yeah. December 15th is your boss's holiday get together,
yeah, which is now known to everyone who listens to the program. Cool.
Well, it's very small. It's very small, very, very small gathering.
That's true.
Someone you mentioned on the show earlier today is going to be there before you that same day, earlier in the day. Ralph Garman.
At Flappers?
At Flappers.
Oh.
Along with Kevin Smith.
They're doing their podcast.
Oh, they're doing their podcast? Thing? On which day, sir?
The 7th.
On the 7th. They're in the big room?
They're in the big room.
At what time?
4:30 Pacific.
Oh, interesting. Who's there at 7, just out of curiosity? Who's at the 7:30 show?
The 7:30 show in the main room?
Yeah, who am I competing against?
Jay Leno?
Is it Jay?
It's Jay.
It's usually Jay or Jimmy Dore. Is it one of those two?
Just so rename that club the Jay Leno Comedy Club.
All right, well, good. So that means...
What a comedy sandwich that's going to be.
I got to avoid that guy. So that's who I'm avoiding that day.
Yeah, okay.
Last time I was there, I didn't have to avoid anybody. I got to say hello to Arsenio Hall, so I didn't have to. Yeah. No avoidance that day.
Yeah.
And our friend Kimberly Clark, AST recording artist, Kimberly Clark.
That's right. Go check it out wherever you get your music.
No hard copies of that, right? Just digital?
Right, digital only.
Very good. Thanks for listening, everybody. On behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, looking over there. Oh, let me say this. Another clear up. Last episode, you asked me about that Kennedy Todd heavier sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And I gave a very weird reaction.
You did.
And I'm going to tell you why.
You hadn't worn it yet?
I did not want to reveal this. I was going to offer it to you because it's a little big on me.
Okay.
And then I wore it on my walk yesterday.
Motherfucker.
And it's the perfect weight.
Fuck. Wait, it's a medium?
It's a little big on
me. Why don't I order a small and I'll trade you?
I fear that their smalls are too small, but let's give that a try.
Okay.
There's no, we can't.
No harm in trying.
Yeah. So you order the olive 25%. Order that up.
I will.
And then, we'll do what they call a
swaparoo.
That's courtesy of kennedytodd.com. Use promo code PARDO. I recommend you do that.
I will.
And you get 25% off. Yes. All right. So on behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, that is Garen Cockrell behind Video Village. That's Indo. That's our boy, Elliot Hochberg, behind the main controls here. That's
It works because they like to stay indoors also.
That's true.
Yeah, you're an indoor cat. By that, I mean you're a jazz guy that doesn't do the clubs.
Yeah.
Sits on his balcony.
Good, yeah. You missed the yeah, Garen.
I heard it.
That's Matt. That's Elliot. That's Garrett. I'm Jimmy. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone Not Forgotten.